and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot to talk about today. Stuff I forgot to talk about yesterday that we need to get into when it comes to just the overall technocratic control system that they're building. I'm just every day, you know, I come in and all the stories from yesterday are on my desk. And I go through and make sure I hit everything I needed to, clear it off, bring in all the news stories. I forgot about this one. British government plans to introduce cameras that detect emotion. The British government is planning to expand the surveillance measures by implementing cameras capable of analyzing movements and emotions in public spaces. This initiative is claimed to help prevent crime and suicides. However, it raises concerns about privacy and the extent of government oversight. Yeah, just one of the many stories that just like falls through the cracks because we're dealing with so much insanity around the world. But we'll get back to the Orwellian takeover of the entire Anglosphere, and we'll connect it to what's going on in Australia as they implement a new raft of ever more restrictive policies about free speech. We'll get into all of that as we jaunt around the world surveying the state of total domination and world tyranny. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch. For Wednesday, the 10th of December, 2025, Trump extends deadline for Zelensky's peace agreement from Thanksgiving to Christmas. This is from Infowars.com. Find the story there. President Donald Trump has offered Ukraine's dictator a generous extension to ending his war. Previously, the president said the dictator had until Thanksgiving to accept the peace offer or be cut off from U.S. support. But since that deadline has come and gone, Trump will continue his support of Ukraine until Christmas, likely the Western Christmas of December 25th. Zelensky is still holding on. He's talking about being open to holding elections, but there are some qualifiers that he wants to add in. And of course, they've got to, you know, shore things up, get all of the graft concluded so their corruption could go unpunished. This is the thing about the globalists. Everywhere they are becomes a crime scene. So then it becomes incumbent on them to make sure the conflict never ends or to make sure the U.S. never gets to bring in surveyors and find out what happened. It's the same story over and over, whether it's Ukraine or, you know, Israel and Gaza. It's like, well, we can't exactly open up and go back to normal because if we do, all of the endless corruption and the theft of billions of dollars would be unveiled. So they're digging in. Meanwhile, Barry Weiss picks Tony Dukupel, I don't know how to pronounce his name, to anchor CBS Evening News. CBS News, under Larry Ellison's handpicked self-described Zionist fanatic editor-in-chief Barry Weiss, has reportedly selected hair model Tony Dukupel, I think, to announce CBS Evening News. We'll get back into that story in just a little bit. It gets crazy, trust me. Meanwhile, gunboat diplomacy returns. U.S. seizes oil tanker off Venezuela. President Trump confirmed to Bloomberg the U.S. forces intercepted and seized a tanker near Venezuelan coast, saying further information will be provided soon. Gunboat diplomacy was on full display Wednesday afternoon after Bloomberg reported that U.S. forces intercepted and seized a sanctioned Venezuelan oil tanker off the coast of Venezuela. This move underscores the Trump administration's Monroe 2.0 posturing as Washington seeks to reassert control over the Western Hemisphere after years of neglect. So it does appear as though we're accelerating things, moving up in the escalation ladder, where we're actually seizing their exports. And again, I think this contributes even more to my thought that Trump doesn't really want to go to war with Iran. He wants to bring to bear all of the pressures he possibly can to try to get concessions out of Venezuela. But I don't know if we're planning on doing a full-fledged invasion, because that would be ill-advised. Meanwhile, Trump vows to make America affordable again in Pennsylvania speech. President Donald Trump spoke in Pocono, Pennsylvania on Tuesday, where he vowed to make America affordable again. The president and his administration have been moving to the message of affordability in the U.S. that they've been, as they've been attacked for by Democrats over economic concerns. We'll get back to that as well in just a little bit. I'll probably start off with a clip from that speech yesterday. Finally, we have this. Tourists to the U.S. would have to reveal 5 years of social media activity under a new Trump plan. They've already instituted this type of thing for people seeking visas or to become, you know, residents here in America. But now it will extend to tourists, where if you want to visit America as a foreigner, you're going to have to hand over 5 years of your social media activity, probably to make sure you're not anti-American, if I had to guess. I say the comment dripping with sarcasm. We'll be back on the other side. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you by thealexjonesstore.com. Stay with us, folks.
You have until this Sunday, December 14th, 2025, to get 40% off store-wide at theowlshowstore.com. And that means all of the incredible supplements that will enrich and empower your life. They really work. We have 5-star reviews, and they fund our operation to take on the globalists. So please do your Christmas shopping at theowlshowstore.com. It is a 360 win for everybody. Now, ultramethylene blue liquid, 40% off. Bovine colostrum, the very best, running out, still 40% off. Ultramethylene blue caps, 40% off. Back in stock. Ultramethylene red, that's right, it's back in stock, but it has a very low supply. Ultimate CMOS gummies and capsules, all back in stock, 40% off at thealexshowstore.com. Again, please do your Christmas shopping at thealexshowstore.com. Get great products that enrich your life and funds the tip of the spear in the fight against the globalists.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, waging war against the unelected technocrats that simply assert they have the right to rule over us because they know better than us. And that really is one of the main things we'll be talking about today. As would, despite all of their cries of democracy, of course, to them, and in reality is just ruled by the media. And so they love democracy as long as they have all of the mechanisms of information transmission. As soon as that slips out of their hands, suddenly democracy becomes dangerous and we need technocrats to rule over us. It's very convenient. Let's start with Donald Trump. Donald Trump is on a affordability kick, I guess. Which is a little weird because 2 days ago he said affordability is a Democrat scam. Kind of odd. At his first stop of his affordability tour, Trump mocks affordability. He had charts that he read from touting economic data. The state around him was filled with signs reading lower prices, bigger paychecks. He introduced Pennsylvanians who said they had more take-home pay because of his policies. But if he was supposed to launch a speaking tour to connect with Americans struggling with higher prices and stagnant wages, President Donald Trump didn't hesitate to veer off course. He mocked the word affordability, touted how high the stock market had risen, and said Americans don't need so many pencils. He launched into a number of digressions to disparage the country of Somalia, the concept of climate change, and the news media in the back of the room. So it was classic Trump, of course. This was, I guess, a kickoff of a tour to promote Trump's economic policies. And to be honest, I don't know who he's listening to, but they're lying to him. I really think it's not hard to figure out what's going on here. I think Trump has worm tongues whispering in his ear that everything is going great and keeping away from him the reality of the situation, which is his base is fractured and infuriated. And I think he's probably going to learn this. I mean, it's good that he's out on the road. I'm glad he's out on the road because this is the time when Trump supporters can actually interface with Trump without anybody getting in the way. So I think in an effort to save the Republican Party from themselves and to break through the, you know, informational control that they have as a leash on Trump, you get to go to one of these events, maybe strategically use your booze, maybe in a moment of quiet during the rally, you can have a, you know, pre-prepared statement to yell out to try to break through to Trump to let him know we are his supporters. We are the ones who got him through. We are the ones he's supposed to be serving. We are the ones he depends upon, and we are not happy with the way things are going. Okay? Maybe that's just me, but I have the feeling I'm speaking for a pretty large chunk of his supporters because I talk to them on a daily basis, and not a lot of people are happy. Let's go to clip number two. This is Trump doing the Trump thing, which a lot of times we love him for, but when he's so off the mark, it just is kind of absurd. Let's watch.
We keep going like this. I don't know if we can do that. But if we keep going like this, there'll be nothing ever in history like it. Already, they are saying better than Lincoln, better than Washington, better than anybody. The best 10 months ever in the history of the presidency.
Okay, but what are you talking about? Better than Lincoln, better than Washington, best 10 months in American history? It's like, but what? But what do you mean, though? but tangibly what has happened, what has actually occurred here. I mean, if it was Lincoln, like, you know, imprisoned the entire legislature of the state of Maryland. He did some pretty powerful things. We haven't seen anything even remotely like that from Trump. And again, it's just not true. I'm sorry, it's just not. I would love for it to be true. I'd love for him to go out there and go, hey, you know, we're getting things done. We may have had a slow start, but the gears are moving now, and here's what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to do it. I'd be all for it. But when we've seen nothing that we can really sink our teeth into in the last 10 months as a real solid victory for the American people, then touting yourself as the greatest president who has ever lived rings a little bit hollow and is kind of embarrassing, to be honest with you. And again, people know this, like gas is over $3 where I live. Okay. Under the first Trump administration, it was in the $1 arena, not anymore. So are we doing a Biden here? Is this what it felt like to be a Democrat and to be told that Biden is succeeding in lowering all of the inflation rate and everything else, and told that he's the sharpest tool in the shed? It's gaslighting. I don't believe it. And Trump shouldn't believe it either. Somebody's telling him that he's doing super well. And I guess it's because of the stock market. Stock market doesn't really relate to the average person. So who cares? Who cares if the stock market is high? Great. NVIDIA gets to make more chips. Meanwhile, we're having our entire country stolen out from under us. And I'm constantly like sort of constantly reestablished in my mind how frustrating this is, and how constantly we're told that things are just impossible when they're just not. It's just so many of these things would be so incredibly easy to do. And the fact that we're not doing them is because we're making the choice not to do them. And of course, a lot of this has to do with immigration and things that Trump could be doing to pressure companies to not sell out our birthright from under us. We'll talk more about immigration in a little bit. Let's stick with the affordability thing. Clip number four here. Trump's affordability speech is now him talking about how children don't need as many pencils as you think, which, again, not the most compelling argument. I think I get what he's going for here, but let's go to clip number four. Here's Trump again in Pennsylvania yesterday.
Got national security. We need the one thing you need steel. You know, you can give up certain products. You can give up pencils. Because under the China policy, you know, every child can get 37 pencils. They only need one or two. You know, they don't need that many. But you always need steel. You don't need 37 dolls for your daughter. Two or three is nice, but you don't need 37 dolls.
So I get what he's saying. What he's saying is that, like, in the, you know, you have to prioritize national security, because if you don't do that, it doesn't matter how many pencils you have. It doesn't matter how many dolls you have. If your, you know, country is being invaded or you're being destroyed, like, you got to prioritize things. I get what he's saying. Doesn't come across well, though, does it? It comes across almost kind of socialist. How many dolls do you need? As many as I want and can afford, actually. I'm an American, thank you. How many guns do I need? All of them. What do you mean need? How many pencils do I need? None. I use pens. That's beside the point, though. It just doesn't make any sense. What is he talking about? I don't know. I'm not buying steel personally. I guess that contributes to the overall rise in prices. And the reason I think this is so important for Trump to get right, and he's not getting it right, is because this is the number one thing motivating people right now. And it is intertwined with, obviously, immigration. But the immigration is the cause and the economy collapsing is the effect, right? So I want to go to a couple clips here. Do we have 42 censored? Let's go to clip 42 here. This is a young woman who was out looking for a house, and it's your average. Well, it's actually a little different than normal. Normally, it's just people being like, I have to live in my car because even though I have a full-time job, all the houses around me are unaffordable. And this person has a little bit of a more aesthetic outrage at what's going on. But I want you to pay attention about halfway through the video to what she immediately blames for the situation that she finds herself in. She's looking for a house, and all she can find are poorly constructed, ugly, pathetic, like dehumanizing homes, when she wants something that feels cozy and joyful and a place that she'd want to raise a family, not just a box that's been thrown up to temporarily house a person, a economic module for the time being. Let's go to clip number 42 here.
I'm on Zillow looking at houses like I always do, and I'm literally about to crash out. If I see one more cardboard, I'm about to cuss, sorry, already cussed, sorry. Cardboard box of a house that's $1 million for a cardboard box. I'm this close to a neighbor and you want me to pay $1 million for that? For a yard that has rocks in the backyard? I'm shaking. I'm getting so mad. It's crazy. I want whimsical. I want arched doors. I want Tudor style home. I want beautiful baseboards again. I want stained glass windows and cool chandeliers again. I don't want these cardboard homes that are squished in like sardines next to my neighbors with an HOA of like $300 per month. Are you kidding me? Like, what's happening to the world? Capitalism? BlackRock? That's what's fucking happening to the world.
So she's right about BlackRock. She's not right about what BlackRock is doing being anything related to capitalism. It's pure exploitation. It's corporatism. It's crony capitalism. It is what's wrong with our country, and it's what the right-wingers in this country dedicate themselves to. They are under the impression that, well, BlackRock's stock went up, therefore it must be a good thing. Sure, they have taken houses off the market that would have been affordable to young people. They're now going to rent them back to those young people. So the young people will end up paying the same amount as they would for a mortgage, only at the end of a 10-year term, they, instead of owning a home outright, will own nothing. Okay, I mean, this is not, and there's so many other reasons why as well, right? People talk about BlackRock buying homes. There's so many reasons why home ownership is like indelibly tied to freedom. Home ownership is a mark of liberty, just like gun ownership is. Because when you have a home, you can lock that door. You can keep anybody you want out of it, up to and including the government, if they don't have a warrant by going through the process of providing probable cause. But if you're renting a house and it's your landlord's home, then they can let in whoever the hell they want. They can search whatever the hell they want. They can install whatever cameras they want to surveil you. You lose a crucial part of being a free human being when you are constantly occupying, you know, a temporary shelter owned by somebody else. It is dehumanizing at the end of the day, and it allows for maximal control over innumerable industries. Because when a homeowner owns a home and wants to get work done, then they got to go, you know, find a local plumber. They got to find a local HVAC guy. They got to find a local roof repair or lawn care person. And they're actually creating jobs and generating business for all these sorts of small businesses. But if you have a giant neighborhood that's owned by a giant corporation like BlackRock that has under its purview and under its umbrella a lot of major national corporate chain, you know, plumbers, you can have a giant franchise that has contracts with BlackRock. So they'll handle all of the, you know, house care. It's all about centralization of everything. And that included in that is the industry. I'm way off the mark, but it's important to understand why BlackRock is doing this. And it's not about making the most money. It's about using the function of capitalism and claiming that you're practicing capitalism when in reality, you're systematically destroying the freedoms that America has fought and died for. Only people are willingly giving it up because of the convenience of not having to take care of your own house. It's actually, you know, I understand the appeal. If you rent a house and something breaks, you just make one call. Hey, this is broken. And then your landlord has to take care of it. If you own a home, it's actually your responsibility, which is actually a good thing, right? Alex constantly, and today I heard him about, you know, strong times or, you know, strong men, hard times, easy times, weak men, that whole process. Yeah, that's actually part of it. Like when your house is your responsibility and you feel a sense of ownership for it, you have to, on your own and by your own volition, do the hard things that are required, which actually tie you closer to your house. Like these things are all important in combination of building a society based on humanity rather than based on exploitation of humanity by giant corporations. But her first thought when infuriated, as she rightfully is, people might think it's silly. Oh, she wants stained glass windows and nice baseboards. Like, oh, you're so spoiled. No, it's what we deserve. No, it's what we have earned collectively as a nation. You're telling me that we are the most powerful, successful nation in the history of the world by a factor of 100, and our own people can't afford to live in homes that are at least nice looking, that are at least have some care poured into them? We could do it 100 years ago. Somehow 100 years ago, you could order a house from, Sears magazine and have it delivered on a flatbed truck and built by artisans, and that house is still standing to this day. I know because I have friends that live in them. They're all over the place in Austin, in the nice neighborhoods. The West Campus in Austin is full of these homes that actually came from magazines, Sears Roebuck. Somebody picked it out, paid $1,000, and a home was delivered that is standing to this day while homes that were built a decade ago are crumbling right next to them. Why could we figure it out back then, but we can't do it now? How has this economy served us if we can't afford what our ancestors 100 years ago could afford on a lower salary doing manual labor while the wife stayed at home and worked? We are broken as a system, and it needs fixing, not celebrating the slight application of the brakes as we tumble off the cliff. Oh, the stock market's higher. Great. I live in a cardboard box that I can't afford. Let's focus on what actually matters. And people are getting pissed at this. And of course, it collides with the immigration topic head on with things like this. And very similar to the rant I went on yesterday about the, woman at the Cinnabon and talking about how we need to do something to protect white women in service roles. I don't, because there's something about it when foreigners and the immigrants come over here and they feel like they've earned what they've been given, and they feel a sense of superiority, and they feel a sense of condescension to the white people that are like working their fingers to the bone just to try to make ends meet. And they feel like they've, gamed the system and are living like millionaires when they've never provided anything, never accomplished a damn thing in their lives. Let's go to clip number 43 here. Here's a woman who works all night just to support herself and has to get mocked and laughed at by immigrants living off the dole. Let's watch.
Okay, I got something to say. Okay, I'm at work. It's 2:00 in the morning, and I'm at work. Okay, these bitches come in, don't speak English. Okay, oh, and all of a sudden, they're white racists behind the counter. Okay, this is what they ring up. Look at this. Nothing but junk food. Nothing but junk food. Look how long this bitch is. Look how long it is. And guess how much the remaining balance is? Guess how much these two racist pieces of that is coming to my country, and you're making fun of me because I'm standing at a job at 2:00 a.m. Well, guess what? I got another job to go to when I get off of this one at 6:00 until about 3:00 p.m. And then I got to get some sleep, and then I got to turn around and do it all over again by 11:00. So you motherfuckers that come into this country and treat us like shit, I hope they bounce you out of this country so fast that your sombreros are left behind. You mother, guess how much these bitches get? Guess how much? Let me tell you. $3,247 mother tax dollar, mother tax dollar money. And then insult me. Oh, look at I'm talking Spanish, looking at me, laughing. Oh, the nasty, nasty white bitch. Yeah? I said, oh, get out of my motherfucking country. Get out. Get out, you worthless motherfucker. Get the fuck out.
Well, she's not wrong. In fact, she's exactly right. In fact, how do more people not feel this way? that's the reality of the modern American economy. It's poor, overworked women working all night and the next day just to put food on their table, being literally mocked and laughed at by immigrants who are being given many times that woman's salary for nothing. And then they feel a sense of superiority about it. And of course, the corporations are in on it. Who do you think's selling all the junk food? Who do you think's making bank off of this? They're hiring the people for less than Americans would work for. You think that woman, that's the woman that Trump is saying, you know, can't be trained to, you know, build missiles, can't be trained to build batteries. Now she'll be left behind. We need Indians for that. Not this woman who works her ass off 2 a.m. scanning items, going to another job at 3, having to be up again at 11 a.m. to do it all over. Day in, day out, no rest, no break, no celebration, no vacation. We can't help her. We can't provide for her. Yeah, migrant influencer waves around cash as he mocks U.S. taxpayers who work like slaves after he urged fellow illegals to become squatters in U.S. houses. Slaves. Slaves is what we are. We work, they eat. That's what it is. We work our fingers to the bone. They eat. We have to do everything by the book. We can't let $1 slip through the tax man's grasp or else, you know, the IRS is knocking on our door. Meanwhile, billion-dollar corporations are being paid by the government and paying nothing in taxes while they're hiring Indians who then offshore the entire company and spend billions and billions and billions of dollars training their overseas counterparts. I got stories about that too. I got all sorts of stories about immigration here, especially when it comes to a place like Maine. And it's economic and it's racial and it's all just unacceptable and we have to stop all of it. I told you yesterday, Microsoft got a new Indian CEO who decided randomly to first off lay off 15,000 Microsoft employees while simultaneously applying for 7,500 H-1B visa applications. Then they choose to invest $17.5 billion in India to support the country's ambitions. Can't spare any money to train up people in America. Can't do it. They're there to be tax slaves. They're there to work their fingers to the bone and get nothing. Meanwhile, the corporations that we built that only exist because of the freedom and talent and prosperity of our country get taken over by Indians who immediately send $17.5 billion to their co-ethnics, to their homeland. They're not the only ones. Amazon's even worse. Amazon is going to invest $35 billion in India and plans to create 1 million jobs by 2030 in India. Microsoft, $17.5 billion investment into India, American money. Amazon, $35 billion. Rose to prominence, gained power, gained wealth, solely off the backs of the American people. Our laws, our system, our prosperity, our market. Taken over, hijacked, liquidated, sent to foreigners. And they're still sending people over here to take our jobs here. We are under attack from every direction. Trump wants to talk about affordability. He can do something about literally any of this. We'll be right back.
For me, with everything going on, the big takeaway is the world is in a fourth turning, a mega change. The globalists know that. Their plan is failing. And just because we're opposing them doesn't mean things aren't going to derail and get really, really nasty. It just means coming out of all these crises, we have a shot of building a civilization and having some civilization survive and then rebooting it and building something even better going into a new golden era. Anyone in general not rooting for Trump and his economic plans is insane. And for the left, not distributed around the world that want economic collapse, believing they're going to bring in their new socialist utopia or communist utopia on its ashes, in all the actuaries and all the futurist studies and all the Rand Corporation analysis and my own, and there's really nobody, including the establishment, that thinks you're going to get your New World Order, transhumanist, you know, communist, Great Reset now. That's what everyone's rebelling against. That's the old system that they were trying to push as the new system. But just because that's falling apart, again, doesn't mean that we're out of the woods. And I came across articles today talking about rich enclaves in the United States, and there's others around the world, where the ultra-rich don't want to be next to a big city. They don't want to be next to glitz and glamour. There's mass exoduses to rural areas where they're building armored redoubts where you'll have 20 to 30 to 40 rich people, and I mean people building $40 million houses and bunkers, ahead of what's happening. And then there's even more ultra-rich that have all sorts of hidden facilities in the middle of nowhere. And the ultra-rich have giant fleets of yachts and flotillas where you've got a lot of these Google billionaires will have a line of 6-7 ships, some that are just massive. And they own private islands in the South Pacific. Then they also know things are so dangerous that they're ready to flee there. So that acceleration of people running for the hills and building their bunkers has been going on for a long time, but it's just peaking and peaking and peaking is a big deal. So when you got signs like that, it gives you a little bit of an idea of what we're navigating here. Yeah, here he is this year warning of Terminator-style apocalypse. Oh, well. You can go back to 2005, 6, where I did reports on that. But now this information is everywhere. And like I've said to Zuckerberg on air and in other ways, the last few years, I said, you better come and join us. You better stop attacking us from behind. If you think you're going to be safe in that armored fortress you've built there in Kauai, think again. I'm not threatening you. I can tell you I love Kauai. I've been there many times. The last few times I went, I cannot go to a store, to the beach, anywhere, or go on a fishing trip without everybody telling me how they can't wait till things collapse to come get you. I mean, the villagers practically have their torches lit. Well, Zuckerberg's got escape yachts as well, and reportedly an escape submarine and underground deal. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. The point is, guys, that's not going to protect you long-term if stuff collapses. What's going to protect you is getting out of what you're doing and helping turn civilization and society around, okay? And if you think during a total collapse at a few weeks or a few months into it that your security detail isn't going to turn on you, that's a whole other thing.
Folks, again, I don't know what Trump is looking at, what information he is being given. You know, basically ever since he got elected in the first place in 2016, it's almost like every election since then has been treated like a referendum on Trump himself. And for good reason, because he dominates the political sphere, and most Democrats are simply running on an anti-Trump platform, and most Republicans have figured out that a Trump endorsement is really the only surefire way to get ahead in the polls. Now, that's not true anymore, actually, and we're seeing that time and time again. It's being reinforced over and over. The only contrary action to this trend would be the victory that happened in Tennessee, where this Afton Bain actually lost, thank God. But we showed you the video yesterday of a Nashville city councilwoman just as vicious and racist as the day is long. So it's not even going well there. But whether it's the election in New York City or any of the special elections that have happened in the last few months, Trump has been blown out of the water. And we've seen, what was the one, like 48-point swing, where the same county that went for Trump in 2024 by plus 9 was now negative 43 or whatever it was. It's like things have flipped completely, and we have another one today. Another one occurred today. Eileen Higgins wins the Miami mayoral race She's the first Democratic mayor of Miami in 30 years. 30 years. Democrat Eileen Higgins has flipped the Miami mayor's office, defeating Republican Emilio Gonzalez and marking the latest sign of her party's momentum heading into next year's midterms. According to Decision Desk HQ, Higgins is the first Democrat to become mayor of Miami since 1997. She bested Gonzalez, a former Miami city manager who served on President Trump's Homeland Security Department transition team. Okay? So somebody directly related with a position in Trump's admin just got blown out of the water and lost the Miami mayor race for the first time in 30 years. Is that not a signal that you should be paying attention to? That you're losing, actually? That you're not the greatest president since Washington, in fact? It's offensive you would even say that. I don't want to not like Trump. I recognize Trump is like the only hope that we have. That's why I'm so mad. How is he messing it up this badly? How do you go in to the presidency in 2025 with the greatest political cachet we've ever seen, bringing in Democrats and RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard and the whole tech bros? Like, you come in with this mandate to rule. 10 months later, everybody's abandoned. Everybody is choosing the other side. Everybody feels like we've been tricked. At first stop of his affordability tour, Trump mocks affordability. And again, I don't know what these people think is happening. I don't know what world they think they live in. We'll go to this video. This is from yesterday, clip 40. Susie Wiles, who Trump says is the most powerful person in the world, former Netanyahu campaign manager, now chief of staff at the White House. Major problem if you listen to the actual America First people. In what's wrong with Trump, Susie Wiles is one of the first they'll point to. Here she is yesterday talking about their strategy going into the midterms. You tell me if this is a positive outlook for the Republican Party. Let's watch.
He's going to have a fun next year, but we're going to put him on the campaign trail too. Typically, just a little bit of campaign speak, if I may.
Yeah.
Typically, you in the midterms, it's not about who's sitting at the White House. It's you localize the election.
Right.
And you keep the federal officials out of it. We're actually going to turn that on its head.
Good.
And put him on the ballot. Because so many of those low propensity voters are Trump voters.
Yes, they are.
And we saw a week ago Tuesday what happens when he's not on the ballot and not active. So I haven't quite broken it to him yet, but he's going to campaign like it's 2024 again.
Oh.
For all these people that he helps. He doesn't help everybody, mm-hmm. but for those he does, he's a difference maker. And he's certainly a turnout machine. So the midterms will be very important to us.
Yeah.
He'll work very hard to keep the majority.
Yeah, we can't afford to have this stalled.
No.
And one of the things I keep telling people, I'm sure we're going to talk politics. I got to talk this. I am so frustrated with all of the people that gave abundantly to organizations like ours and others over the last 4 years to make sure that we won. And our objective was threefold. We didn't just want the presidency. Mm-hmm. We wanted the House. We wanted the Senate. And we were very strategic on where we went, how we focused to get those moms out. And now it's like they're all sitting on their laurels and going, oh, we're good. I'm like,
President
I don't think
Trump
you realize how good we aren't.
Yeah.
And this with swipe of a pen and one election can change everything.
And the majorities in both houses.
Yes.
So
right. They are.
This is a good Senate year for Republicans. Every 2 years is what it is for House members. So there's candidate recruitment. The president started raising money for the midterms the day after the election.
Good.
And he's sitting on a huge war chest to help these people. And he'll use it, and he'll use himself, and he'll use his money that he's raised, probably his money too, and nobody can outwork him. So there's every reason to be confident, but we have to actually get it done.
Yeah.
There's no reason to be confident, lady. What are you talking about? There are like 10 things wrong with what she just said. First of all, Trump has not done what he's needed to. His appearance at these places will not be the boon that you think it will. Two, is that what I want my president doing when he's in office, when he has all these other concerns to be focused on? He's going to be gallivanting around the country, giving stump speeches, trying to drive out the vote for people that don't employ his agenda. You're telling me he's raised all of this money? He's helped get all these people into office? He's the difference maker? He's the reason they're in office, and yet they don't serve him, so why does he do it? Why is he going to give out all of this money to his hand-picked, you know, selection of people when they get into office and they pass nothing? See, he wouldn't have to campaign at all if the Congress could point to a record of success of codifying his policies into law, as is their job and their role that they have all but abdicated over the last 11 months. If they could go to their constituents and say, I passed this, I proposed this bill, I got this bill on the floor, but they haven't done any of that. So now you've got to pull Trump away from his actual duties to go campaign for people who give him nothing, don't help him, and don't deserve our vote in the first place. Great. Wonderful. We're going to lose the House. We're going to lose the Senate. And in effect, we'll lose the presidency. But don't worry. You know, we were saying before that, like, okay, come 2026, it's going to come grinding to a halt because the Congress and the Senate are going to distract Trump by impeaching him over and over about all sorts of nonsense and suing or investigating everybody around him and anything that they do. But it sounds like Trump's going to do it for them. He's going to take himself out of the office himself to campaign all through 2026 and treat it like 2024. If he had tangible things to show you, he wouldn't have to campaign at all. And while he's out campaigning, while he's out running himself thin, appearing in rally after rally, being ferried from one state to the next, you know what he's not going to be focused on? All of the policies that will instead be handled by whoever he leaves behind in Washington, D.C. It seems like they're taking Trump off the board for 2026 and saying, for 2026, we'll take care of things in the whole presidency spot. You just go out and be the mascot. You go out and be the cheerleader. You go out and work your fingers to the bone to get people elected who despise you and betray you the second they get a chance, like Lindsey Graham. I don't even think it's going to work. Good luck campaigning against Thomas Massie. I mean, hell, literally, it's like the worst case scenario that we kept saying has to be avoided. I've been saying since before Trump was even in office. All right, I kept saying, what's the deadline? If he hasn't done things by April, are we going to start to get pissed? If he hasn't done things by June, are we going to start to get pissed? Well, it's December now. Are we pissed yet? What are we waiting for, I guess, is the question. Our worst case scenario was he doesn't do enough. Come 2026, the Democrats take the House, the Democrats take the Senate, they start impeaching Trump, we lose the majority. We don't even have to wait to 2026. That was, to me, the like worst case scenario. Trump doesn't do enough. 2026, he gets jammed up. By 2028, a Democrat gets in office and they just go buck wild. They just gloves off, tyranny across the board, just like they did under Biden, over multiplied by 10. We don't even have to wait. Marjorie Taylor Greene quits Congress. Nancy Mace is now talking about resigning early from Congress. If she resigns, we lose our majority. We don't even have to wait for an election for the Democrats to take over. We might just hand it to them ahead hand, beforehand. We don't have to worry about them impeaching Trump and distracting him if his own team, and again, the arrogance, Susie Wiles, Trump doesn't know this yet, but he's going to be campaigning like it's 2024. So she's in charge. So we voted for Trump and we got Susie. That's what I'm hearing. It's not Trump saying I plan on, and he will, you know, he'll come out and say, oh, this is all my idea. I'm excited to go campaign like it's 2024. We just heard from Susie Wiles. Trump doesn't even know this yet. He hasn't been given his script for the next year by Susie Wiles. That's the worm tongue. Oh, Trump, the economy's so great. Everybody loves you. They love what you're doing for Israel. That's just the best thing in the world. And, you know, they need you out there campaigning, you know, to benefit the Republicans. Because, you know, the Republican Party, they've really been working hard for you. Like, does he believe this? Nothing he wants is getting done. nothing that he does is getting codified into law. None of the people in the Democratic Party that have systematically destroyed our country over decades is being investigated or subpoenaed or imprisoned or any sort of negative consequence from the traitors that Trump himself has single-handedly pulled into office in his wake. And now he's going to do it again. If you're a Trump supporter, your greatest obligation right now is to call him out. If you love Trump, if you love what Trump represents, if you appreciate the sacrifice he's made for this country, the way to make that sacrifice worth it is to tell him right now he needs to wake the F up. Because he is being screwed by his own people again. And that's taking it in the best possible light with still, I understand, this almost naive desire I have to see Trump actually be who we think he is. Maybe he's not. Maybe he knows all of this. Maybe he's just playing the game like they all are. I choose in my optimism, in my stupid optimism, to believe that Trump is being fooled and that he can be made aware of this and change his tactic. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. It's utterly infuriating. Again, some people around Trump seem to get, but this is the thing. We get no substance. We get no substantial anything. If I could flip a switch and never hear Trump say another word about Somalians, but they get deported, I'd flip that switch. Why are we getting so much rhetoric about Somalia? None of them are getting deported. We get rhetoric about affordability. Everything's still unaffordable. We get rhetoric about law and order, and things are still insane. And again, I'm not trying to downplay the success that Trump has had. Hell, stuff like this is really important on its own, but it doesn't actually statistically move the needle, but it is good. I'm not trying to downplay this stuff. Trump admin has found 60,000 migrant children ignored by Biden from trafficking and child labor. That's good. That is an unqualified good thing. 62,000 unaccompanied migrant children lost by Biden, found by Trump. Hallelujah. Thank God. It ain't moving the needle, though. It ain't 60,000 children that are the ones stealing our jobs and running billion-dollar scams. We need more than rhetoric and more than these symbolic victories. We need real victory. And again, the frustration in this is that it is entirely, again, I mean, just, I don't know. I don't want to just say the same thing over and over, but it's like, how does nobody get how ridiculous it is that we are capable of bringing in 10 million people, but we can't get them out? That is absurd. It's literally easier to get them out than get them in. So if we could do the one thing, we absolutely can do the other. What are we talking about? There's no funding for the $6 billion border wall, but there is funding for $17.5 billion to resettle Afghan migrants. None of this is real. None of the barriers to our success are real. They are all illusionary. They're all imaginary. They're all self-imposed. We are in a state of learned helplessness. We're like the horse that gets her lead tied to a plastic chair and doesn't go anywhere. Nothing is stopping us from walking away except our own minds. Learned helplessness. Like the mice that don't jump out of the cage. Because the old cage they were in, the walls were too high. They learned they can't jump out of it. So then you put them in a cage they could escape from, and they choose not to. Learned helplessness. And when you see how easy it is, when you see how successful other third world countries have run programs that we're asking for, yet we're told we can't do it, it makes it obvious how absurd all of this is. What we should be asking for, like, we're asking for the bare minimum. We're asking for crumbs and we can't even get it. What we should be demanding is the feast. Iran, the country of Iran, you know the ones. We're told they're this backwards medieval society. They're stupid. They're evil, right? They have deported 1.5 million Afghans in 2025 alone. Iran. We've deported 300,000 foreigners. Iran is somehow capable of deporting 1.5 million. And I haven't seen images out of Iran of, you know, giant riots and all this insanity and chaos. They just do it somehow. They just choose to. Okay, Iran might be a special case. They have a tyrannical government. They have very severe control over their people. Okay, what about Pakistan? Pakistan, in the year 2025, has deported 1 million Afghans from their country. Pakistan. The third world nation. Has deported 1 million people in 2025, three times as many as America has been able to deport. When they have a much, much smaller population of illegal immigrants and a much, much less capable government to do it with. While Europe debates diversity and lets them rape their way through our nations, other countries carry out mass expulsions in the millions. When a nation wants to protect its people and borders, it does. It just does. Why aren't we? Because the people in charge of doing it aren't doing it. Somehow, Pakistan, godforsaken Pakistan, can expel 1 million people, and we can't expel 400,000. No, it's a choice. It's a deliberate choice. When they want to bring in 10 million people, it's done. If they wanted to deport 10 million people, it would be done. They don't want to. When they want to impose extreme restrictions on the mindset of immigrants coming in to guarantee that we have people with certain beliefs in, then they do it. They just do it. They only do it if it benefits Israel. That's the other frustration. Not only do we get to see third world nations accomplish what we are apparently incapable of, expelling 1 million people, we see our own government doing impossible things, achieving incredible results, but never for us. Enough of this. And I want to read this post. I've actually read this before, but I want to read it again because this is the mindset that you need to have. This is the understanding that you need to internalize. It's a post from 4chan. It says, "Nothing about the current political situation we are currently experiencing in the West will ever make sense until you first understand that you live under foreign occupation and are thus subject to rules of the occupiers. If you do not start from there, you'll search for multiple explanations and rationalizations of your society's misery and shortcomings that will ultimately lead you nowhere. The thing is, your enemy has no interest in so-called victory over you because they already won a long time ago, before most of you were even born. Now, the entirety of their actions is aimed at a single goal, humiliation. Humiliation robs you of your humanity, your will, your reason to fight on. Humiliation takes everything from you, and it even robs you of being worthy of empathy. It has been used by every occupier in history, and it's our natural primal understanding of defeat. The Ottoman practice of Kosek is a prime example, similar to the concept of drag kids in modern America. Koseks were a combination of dancers, clowns, and prostitutes. They were young non-Muslim boys taken from their parents and trained to be willful sexual objects and entertainers for the Ottoman Turks. The goal was to have the occupied think, if we allow that to be done to our boys, what else can they do? The answer is anything. It's a full spectrum domination of the minds of the conquered. Your enemy doesn't want gay pride parades in your street, drag queens in your libraries, your son's penis mutilated and drip-fed estrogen from birth, your parents dead from opioids and cancer, your daughter race mixing, your meat replaced with bugs, all while the media laughs at you because they think it's for anyone's benefit. They want it because they know you don't want it, but can't stop them. They want to humiliate you, and there isn't any other reason, and that's exactly what they're doing. Cannot agree more. Could not agree more. It benefits them because it weakens you in your own mind by getting you to believe in your own failure, believe in your own conquering. An enemy is never vanquished until they believe themselves, though. And what a way to convince you that you're vanquished than by spitting in your face, doing exactly what they know you don't want to do, or pretending and signaling that they're going to do what you want to show you, oh, we know what you want. We'll say it. We say it on stage. We say it in interviews. We just don't do it. It's another form of learned helplessness and imposed humiliation. And we're sick of it. Let's go to clip number one here. This is Stephen Miller actually making a very good point about mass immigration into the United States. We'll continue with this on the other side. Let's watch.
The conditions that they left over and over and over again. And we mask the impact of immigration in every public policy issue we discuss. We talk about test scores. Well, if you subtract immigration out of test scores, all of a sudden our test scores skyrocket. If you subtract immigration out of health care, all of a sudden we don't have nearly the size of the health care challenges our country faces. If you subtract immigration out of public safety, all of a sudden, we don't have violent crime in so many of our cities. Issue after issue, we talk about these things that just, they just happen to us. The schools just suddenly fail. Violent crime just suddenly explodes. The deficit just suddenly skyrockets. These are a result of social policy choices that we made through immigration.
And Steve. And he's exactly right. Everything is being made worse because of immigration in a thousand different ways. I've told the story before, and when it comes to Afghans, because that's a big topic of conversation right now. In Austin, Travis Heights Elementary School had so many Afghan students all of a sudden, an influx of Afghan students, that they started teaching regular classes in Pashtun. So the average American citizen who's sending their kids to their own public school that they themselves may have attended as children are being taught as if they don't speak English. You have third graders learning how to sound out dog, wasting their life, wasting the precious time that they have as children, sponges of information when they should be maximizing their potential. They're instead being held back like we've attached lead weights to their neck so that they don't exceed the capability of the Afghans that have come in. But say you don't want your kid to be taught the regular classes that are being conducted as if they're ESL in Pashtun. Maybe you get your kid out of that by putting them in the GT, Gifted and Talented, Accelerated program. You know what that program is at Travis Heights Elementary? An English second language Spanish immersion course. So your choice as an American student in an American elementary school is learn nothing because your class is being taught in Pashtun to all of the Afghans that have been delivered to your neighborhood, or go into the Spanish immersion style of teaching where you learn nothing again because you don't speak Spanish and they're teaching your class in a language you don't understand. This is ridiculous. We don't have to stand for this. We never did have to stand for this. We don't have to put up with it anymore. We'll be back on the other side. Stay with us.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, InfoWarriors. Wow, it's 40% off store-wide for the holidays. Just look at these shirts. They would make a great gift for family and friends. You elves are doing a great job. These look wonderful.
Thank you, Santa.
Rudolph, with such great prices, what do you want me to get for you?
I love the Sea Moss gummies.
Christmas with Alex and crew. A cocoa and a coffee brew. All the presents under the tree. And more. Get a gift from the Alex Jones store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, bovine colostrum, too. And he was always stocked high with depression, methylene blue. But up on Mount Microchest lived the Grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast. And he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took methylene blue, red, ultimate life force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout. The globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop. To be continued.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms!
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective. Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
We need to build up societal immunity around information manipulation.
In November of 2024, Australia passed the world's first online safety amendment, the Social Media Minimum Age Act, banning social media accounts for under 16-year-olds without parental consent override, effective December 10th, 2025.
From December 10, people under the age of 16 will no longer have access to social media accounts. It's part of a new law to help keep under 16 safer online.
Platforms including TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube, X, Reddit, Threads, Twitch, and Kick must take reasonable steps like biometric or ID-based age verification to enforce the rule or face fines up to nearly $50 million.
Yeah, every kid is worried about this. They think it's literally their identity online.
The law enjoys broad parental support in Australia, but is fiercely opposed by tech companies, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and Elon Musk, who calls it a backdoor way to control access to the internet.
They will glorify it, and they'll make it sound like a really fantastic thing, and it's completely not that. It's all trickery. It's all to push us into a communist style of living.
Once again, the globalists have hitched what appears to be legislation for the common good to their wagon cart of totalitarian domination, a slippery slope that normalizes mass surveillance, risks sensitive data breaches, isolates teens from educational networks, and may drive minors to unregulated underground apps, setting Generation Alpha up to be surveilled to the nth degree once they reach 16 years of age.
The company is also rolling out notifications warning teenagers of the ban, asking them to verify their age, which can be done in multiple ways: a driver's license, facial recognition, or Connect ID, which proves your identity through a bank account.
Meanwhile, the EU's Digital Services Act, fully applicable since February 2024, imposes systematic risk assessments, rapid illegal content removal, and trusted flagger systems that were heavily influenced by Stanford University's Cyber Policy Center. Orwellian frameworks originally developed under the First Amendment with U.S. government agencies and later exported to Brussels.
Under the DSA, the EU will find private global companies that operate right here in the U.S. Think Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and X. Up to 6% of their global annual turnover every time they don't censor certain speech. And that speech is based on extremely vague terms like hate speech, misinformation, and online safety. On the flip side, there's no penalty for censoring too much speech, so corporations will be incentivized to err on the side of over-censoring, helping the EU clamp down on speech it doesn't like and moving the needle toward total narrative control. In other words, if you share something on Instagram that might break the rules somewhere in Europe, Meta will have to remove your post or face a fine of about $10 billion. That's billion with a B.
This same group, the Stanford Cyber Policy Center, brought over the head or deputy head of the Sweden Psychological Defense Agency so that censors in America could learn from censors in Sweden about the best way to psychologically defend the public against populist right-wing news sources, effectively.
There will be custodial terms of 6 months.
The UK's Online Safety Act, fully operational from July 2025, has forced platforms like Substack to demand government ID for access to certain content, triggered Wikipedia high-risk classification threats, and empowered Ofcom to punish insufficient self-censorship.
I know that I've been warning you guys about the Digital Services Act, this online safety law that the EU put forth a few years ago. And one of the requirements that law has is that to protect children online, certain content has to be age restricted. Obviously, like, they're talking about things like pornography or very aggressive or violent material. But also, yours truly has been flagged as someone who creates sensitive content. And so all of my posts now have this sensitivity warning, and you have to actively go and click it and verify your age to be able to see what I post.
We are live, still on air. That's right. All the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. You know, I'm so angry that first hour. I spent the whole time just ranting about immigrants and Republicans, basically. I forgot to tell you about the sale that we have on at thealexjonesstore.com. 12 days of Christmas sale is on. You're getting 40% off site-wide. Every single product on the store is 40% off, and they're absolutely incredible products. I believe I saw a advertisement there for Ultra Reds. That must be back in stock. That sold out probably quicker than we've ever had anything sell out. It'll probably sell out again, so make sure you go today, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. No discount code needed at all. All you have to do is support the operation by getting great products available at thealexjonesstore.com. Ultramethylene Blue, Bovine Colostrum Plus, Ultramethylene Blue Caps, Ultramethylene Red. Yes, it's back, and this offer ends soon, so don't waste any time. Go today, thealexjonesstore.com. This is the type of stuff that can really help you stick to your New Year's resolution goals. Don't wait until December 31st. Start thinking, gee, what am I going to do to better myself in 2026? Be preparing now by getting all of the supplements you need to empower yourself into the next year. TheAlexJonesStore.com is where you go today to get that 40% off discount. Now, with that, I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Corinne Clifford, a Washington, D.C.-based independent journalist who is in the White House press corps. She continues to stand up for the U.S. Constitution and freedom while she covers everything from the January 6th Fedsurrection to the D.C. pipe bomber. All daily updates happening in D.C. as well. Corinne Clifford is her handle at X, at Corinne Clifford, or CorinneClifford.com is the website. Corinne, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Harrison. I'm so excited to be on InfoWars in real life, in real time, from the White House in Washington, D.C. I think this is momentous.
It's a beautiful setup you have there, and I'm happy to see you reporting from the White House grounds. Now, I showed your video yesterday where you were sort of on location. You actually went out and did some investigating into the supposed accused pipe bomber. Tell us what you found.
So this is what I really love to do. I really love to be boots on the ground, heels on the ground. And I like to go out and really talk to the people, you know, person to person, eye to eye. So I went to Woodbridge, Virginia, and I actually knocked on the door of the alleged pipe bomber's mother. The alleged pipe bomber, of course, is Brian Cole Jr. And I had the courage to knock on the door of his mother, and she opened it, which I was shocked about, Harrison.
Yeah. I would expect her to be, maybe have some security around there or something. I mean, if this guy's accused of trying to kill people with a bomb, that is surprising. She opened the door. What did she say when you introduced yourself?
So this happened on Sunday, and I said, listen, I'm a mother, you're a mother. I said, what is your name? I told her my name, Corinne Clifford. I said, I'm a very independent journalist. Obviously, I'm a Trump supporter, but I want to talk to you about your son. And she said very clearly, she told me her name is Delicia, and she said her son is innocent and that he got set up. And when you look in someone's eyes, you really understand them. She went on to tell me, you know, her son is 30 years old. Basically, he's autistic. He lives in her house. You know, she's very concerned about him. He walks his own dog every day, and he's just introverted. And he is not the type of person to cause any violence or plan anything. Now, listen, he works for his father, Brian
Ryan Cole Sr. And that's where I think this story is going to get very interesting. But I wrote a letter. I printed it out. I gave it to everyone in the neighborhood. And so I am getting anonymous tips about different things. And, you know, some of the neighbors were nice. Some of the neighbors were mean. It's a nice neighborhood, actually. I would actually live there. It's 50% black, 50% white, and it was a really safe neighborhood. So what I'm concerned about is the fact that Ryan Cole Jr. wears very thick glasses, and he's not, you know, 100% intellectual. I want to say that kindly. You know, he's on the spectrum of autism, according to his mother. And this happened January 5th and 6th. So there's a deeper plot going on, but I want to go back to his father, Brian Cole Sr., because Brian Cole Sr. is an activist in the Black Power movement, and he is a bail bondsman across the United States of America. And so he understands how to handle the system. I asked the mother, do you want to give son go? Do you want to raise money for your son? She said very clearly, no, we don't need to raise any money. And she's very concerned about him, and she and I were crying together. So I didn't put a camera in her face. I didn't shove a microphone on her. And I said, you know, I'm going to do my best as an independent journalist to represent you, because Harrison, this time last year, we had over 2,000 people arrested by the Biden regime. So I want to go deeper and deeper into this with you, because I don't think the pipe bomber acted alone. I do think that Brian Cole Jr. did get set up. I don't think he's wise enough to even understand how to do all this, but I do think that he potentially was, you know, online a lot, and potentially someone online got to him, and or potentially his father. And so this is going to get really deep, because we all know that the powers that be want a race war. And I think this is why they didn't arrest anyone under the Biden regime.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm just trying to imagine the mindset of what it must be like to be a mother, has an adult autistic son, you know, you're taking care of him, it's all that. And then one day you knock on your front door. I don't know how they did it exactly, but learning that he's accused of one of the most famous crimes of domestic terrorism, it must be just a whirlwind. I feel bad for. Now, in terms of being on the spectrum, did you get any indication of where on the spectrum he was? Because, you know, the autism spectrum is a very wide one. It can be, you know, you can be diagnosed and really you're totally normal, but maybe you have like one or two things that you have trouble with, to the point where you're nonverbal and really incapable of taking care of yourself. Where on that spectrum was he? Did you get any sense of that?
So I really had a deep conversation with her. It was over 10 minutes. And, you know, she told me that she has to take care of her son. Now, listen, I'm a mother, and I want to tell you that if you have a 30-year-old son that lives in your house, it is your responsibility to socialize him, you know, get him active in his neighborhood or with the YMCA, make sure that he has friends, make sure he's not sitting online talking to potential domestic terrorists and or FBI or CIA agents that are trying to set him up. I think that we're going to find out that Brian Cole Jr. was set up. And I think that this could lead to a deeper and deeper investigation. And that's why I think it's so important that I talk to you tonight, because I really want all of us investigative journalists to work on this issue together. I'm part of a team of five people. I can't even say their names because this is going to be very dangerous. But I want Kash Patel and the FBI and the DOJ to understand that we're watching everything they're doing. President Trump doesn't know much about this, obviously. The big problem, Harrison, is that inside the DOJ, inside the FBI, inside every agency, there's still deep state holdovers, because every time President Trump or DOJ or anyone tries to fire these people, they sue, and the judges in D.C. hate us.
Right.
The activist judges are obviously the problem. So as I've investigated January 6th, because I obviously, if I had been there, I would have been arrested with everyone else. I know that it's way deeper than we think, and I just want to make sure that this whole situation is not used by the deep state to start any type of race war, any type of riots. If you look at the history of Brian Cole Jr.'s father, you'll know that he's a very strong black activist, and he doesn't really like the Republicans or the Democrats. So I think that we really need to talk to his father. Of course, the mother said talk to her lawyer. I've always had this experience in my history. I've interviewed thousands of people who've been arrested by the U.S. federal government. I think that it's really important to talk direct to the people. And if you know the history of January 6th, at the end, people were going in pro se because the courts are biased against you. And obviously, they're using a lot of evidence that's a major setup. So you could get set up. I could get set up. We all know this. So I really want to use this as a shout out to all the investigative journalists that we need to keep track of this, because whatever happened at January 5th and 6th in Washington, D.C., is part of the bigger picture of who's really trying to start a real insurrection in the United States of America, potentially a revolution, a civil war. I don't know how deep this is going to go, but we need to have a new January 6th committee. We need a new committee. We need a deep investigation. And I believe that Brian Cole Jr. is innocent. He's not smart enough to be able to do this stuff, but he was experimenting with different things, which does make it dangerous. Mm. And I think we need to go to his father, Brian Cole Sr.
Yeah, that's interesting. So are his parents still married? Is that the house where Brian Cole Sr. lives?
No. So they are separated and on the verge of a divorce. But I do think that they are together on this whole topic. The mother knew exactly what to say to me. She said, you know, she was scared to even answer the door. But I really talked to her in a very emotional way. And, you know, I told her, if you need anything, I will help you, which I think is so important because she has my phone number. She can call me anytime she needs to get the truth to the public. At that point, you know, she didn't even know exactly where her son was being held. Yeah, so you can see the father here, Brian Cole Sr., and he is actually a very well-respected black rights activist. Many times he's on the Democrat side, but that doesn't really matter at this point. We have to make sure that the truth is really known to the public. And I really want to just give an open invitation to everyone, you know, his mother, his father, and his grandmother and the members of his family really love Brian Cole Jr. I want to give them an open invitation to give us the real media, to give you guys at InfoWars a real interview and the truth, because we do care. And I want them to know that. And so I was just setting the tone for the mother so that she could really understand that there are good journalists out there. She doesn't have to be scared of us. And I wanted to build trust because this is just the beginning of a very serious investigation. The next court date, obviously, is Monday, December 15th.
Wow. And I know you're exactly right. And I hadn't actually seen that. If the crew can pull up that tweet again, that's very interesting. I knew he was involved with Ben Crump, who's, you know, tied into all the Black Lives Matter type stuff, and was lawyers with Trayvon Martin. So if the crew can bring up that tweet one more time, I want to actually read it for our radio listeners who aren't able to see it. If the crew can bring that up again. DC pipe bomber's father in 2021. So it's a video of his dad in 2021. Brian Cole Sr., father of DC pipe bomb suspect, is standing right next to Ben Crump, the king of race hustling. Cole begged the Biden DOJ to stop a DA from investigating his bail bond business and screamed racism. Zero evidence of this was ever found. Crump always shows up for schemers. And now we see exactly what circle this pipe bomber comes from. That's very interesting. That was from, Brandon Tatum, I believe. Yeah, Officer Tatum on the Officer Tatum on X posted that. So in 2021, the father of the pipe bomber is sitting next to Ben Crump at a thing for Trayvon Martin. I mean, that's a very suspicious connection, if you're asking me. Did you ask them about that at all, or maybe that's for a later date? You were just setting the tone for now.
I'm setting the tone because I'm getting directly to Brian Sr., and I'm going to get to Ben Crump, and I'm going to do the real investigative journalism, top secret, behind the scenes. But I just want to make sure that people know that there's no way that this young man did this alone. And the evidence that we have so far obviously shows that it's some type of deep, deep, deep state setup. And I really think it's important for the current lawyer to really explain what's going on, because, you know, people like you and me, we really do care about these topics, even if they're Democrats, you know, even if they, you know, I'm in the White House, obviously I'm a Trump supporter, I'm going to pull, you know, the party line. But if a black man is innocent and there's a deeper plot going on here, I'm the first person to stand up. And I really wanted his mother to understand that. that. President Trump is not racist. We all know that. And I don't want this to get portrayed improperly. I want the narrative to stay very clear. This is a deep state setup. And I want this kid, I want Brian Cole Jr.'s medical records. I want to know about his eyes. You know the truth that the Blaze, Steve Baker, just last month said that it was a white all-American bisexual potential CIA agent who was allegedly the pipe bomber.
Right.
So this is way deeper, Harrison, and that's why I'm so grateful to be on InfoWars, because I know you guys are going to stand on top of this, and we all care about this so much. And I think that the father is critical and key, but Ben is actually a really good guy. And so I'm going to go against Brandon Tatum and anyone who gives a bad narrative like that, because I do care about this topic so much. And I think that we've all grown up since the Black Lives Matter happened in 2020 and 2021. And I want to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, and I'm completely with you. I think we just have a very healthy and really kind of obvious sense of skepticism when it comes to anything from the FBI or the powers that be, especially the timing was so suspicious with that Blaze report coming out and just 2 weeks or 3 weeks later, oh, look, we found the guy after 5 years. It smells like a cover up to me. And even if it's just that sense of skepticism that's inspiring the questions, there's nothing wrong with that. And it's okay to demand answers, and it's okay to be suspicious when they don't provide them. By the way, just a reminder to our viewers, if you're just tuning in, it's Corinne Clifford. She's in front of the White House braving what looked like some very freezing winds. We really appreciate her setting up and staying with us to talk about this. You can follow her on X at Corinne Clifford or CorinneClifford.com. That's CorinneClifford.com. Clifford.com. So I just want to thank you for being here with us. And I do want to get into the things like the gate. Were you able to ask the mother or any of the neighbors about what we've heard, that people, we've heard reports that neighbors say this kid walks his dog every single day. He has a very, unique way of walking. Apparently his legs are a little shorter, and it's noticeable when you see him walking day after day. People have seen him thousands of times. They see the video of the DC pipe bomber and go, that's not our guy. I know what he looks like when he walks, and that's not him. Did you ask about any of that, or were you able to get any sense of whether that was him on the video?
No, it's really serious stuff, because he wears very thick glasses and he does have a very unique walk. And his neighbors, mostly white neighbors, said he was a very kind man. They didn't have a lot of interaction with him. He's very quiet, very introverted. He goes to the local 7-Eleven. I talk to people at the 7-Eleven, and he does have a very unique walk, which I think that this all boils down to, why didn't the Biden regime make this a big deal? This is way deeper than we think. And if you look at that walk, that walk does look like the way a woman walks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I am going to be really careful what I say, because what I'm trying to do is really build trust with the family. Of course, the grandmother is devastated. The mother is devastated. Can you imagine if your son is accused of this?
Right.
And, you know, even if he did take part in any of this, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt right now to the FBI, to the DOJ, even though there's bad actors that President Trump and his administration need to fire ASAP, because it's us or them, Harrison. If we don't fire these people, you know, while President Trump's in charge in the next 12 months, they are going to come after us and arrest us all again and again. So we need to really clean out the FBI. We need to clean out the DOJ. And we need to make sure that these activist judges are actually properly impeached.
Right.
And, you know, that's a big issue. I was in federal court during most all the January 6th trials, and I really saw how these U.S. Federal court judges hate Trump supporters, but they hate all sides of every equation, and they need to be impeached. So we really cannot get anywhere in Washington, D.C. unless we clean out the judges. So this is a very deep issue. We need a new J6 committee, obviously. They keep saying they're going to do it, and they don't do it. And I want to stay on top of this and really make a connection with the alleged pipe bomber's family so that we can really all work together on this as a team. But I do know that Brian Cole Sr., you know, is very outspoken. And I do know that he does feel like he's given the raw end of the stick, being a black man in the United States of America at this time in history. And potentially Brian Cole Sr. is getting set up by a deep state activist, because Brian Cole Sr. is a bail bondsman. So this is going to go really deep.
Mm. Yeah, and I'm interested to see those threads being pulled. Again, back to the mom. Did she have any sense of his political bent. And I'm not even sure if we've been told yet whether he was doing this because he thought he was helping Trump or whether he was doing it because he wanted. It seems to me like, you know, the Trump supporters are going to D.C. to have a big rally. If you're a Trump supporter, you're not trying to bomb them. That always seemed kind of inconsistent to me. Did you get a sense from the mother? Did she have anything to say about the political bent of this accused bomber?
I asked her very clear. I was very clear with the mother. I said, I'm a Trump supporter. Just so you know, I said, Trump's pardon czar, you know, is Alice Johnson. I showed her the picture of me and Alice Johnson. And I said, you know, are you a Trump supporter? And obviously she said, no, she's not. And she said she doesn't want to talk about her son. But obviously, you know, they are not. And they're leaning towards not being. And potentially her son was radicalized online. So I don't want to say he's totally innocent. But there is no way on God's green earth that this young man did this by himself. And we all know that he was not violent in any way. He wasn't a hateful person. He was very introverted. And the way that he walks is way different than what's on this video. Plus, there's satellites everywhere, Harrison. Why aren't they showing us the bigger picture? All they have are some telephone records, potentially these dumb videos, which they're using. You know, there's a way deeper plot going on, and potentially a lot of the evidence is destroyed. And that's why I really want to encourage Brian Cole Sr. to really stand up and tell us the truth. We deserve the truth. And I really want to encourage all the mothers out there to really care for their children and find out what they're doing on their computers. If their children live with them, the parents should be watching what they're doing all of the time. I think that's really important for all the parents out there. I want to keep this all separated from President Trump. President Trump is not part of any of this right now, but President Trump and his administration do need to clean out the bad FBI, the bad DOJ, ASAP. We can't wait anymore.
Yeah, and the arrest of this guy, it doesn't answer any of the question that we had. Why the FBI released a video that was altered, where they sort of blurred the face? Why the police that were sent out to search for the bombs seemed to know exactly where they would be? Why the bombs didn't go off? And if they didn't go off, why the guy didn't go back to collect them? I mean, none of this has been answered so far. Again, with the mom, has she had a chance to talk to him yet? I wonder if he's made any statements, if the son has made any statements or given any. I mean, I would think if he's innocent, he'd be going, Mom, I don't know what the hell's going on here. Has she been able to discuss this at all with him after his arrest?
So she told me that she didn't even know where her son was exactly. She
really
didn't know what jail. She didn't know where he was being held. And I said if she needed me, I'd help her do that. But the bottom line is I'm trying to be, you know, stand up for mothers and stand up for innocent people. And there is a way deeper situation going on here. So there's bad people in the FBI and the DOJ that really need to confess. And we really need to wipe them out ASAP because this young man got set up 100%. And the powers that be really need to understand that this is an emergency. The deep, deep, deep state, potentially the Chinese Communist Party, everyone wants to see the United States of America fall into civil war. And that's what Obama wants. That's what the deep, deep, deep state wants. And so there's a lot of money and a lot of lives riding on all of this. The family is not asking for any money. They're not asking for donations. They're not asking for any help. And that's why I think this is going to be way deeper than what we think.
Yeah, and look, even if it was him, even if he does turn out to be guilty, it doesn't mean that the parents are guilty of anything. It still must be a sort of terrifying and confusing time for them. So they have my sympathy no matter what. Of course, this wouldn't be the first mentally ill person to be targeted by the FBI. They have a record of this. They don't go after, you know, intelligent, you know, upright members of society. They try to find the most vulnerable to co-opt into their schemes in order to bust them to put a gold star on themselves. It's really horrific, and that seems to be exactly what's going on here. I just want to thank you for your reporting. Please keep up the great work, and we're going to be happy to have you on whenever new updates come out. Corinne Clifford, you can follow her on X at Corinne Clifford, CorinneClifford.com. That's Corinne Clifford.com, Clifford with one F. Thank you so much for joining us today, Corinne.
God bless you. Happy holidays.
Thank you so much. Merry Christmas, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon when more of this breaks and we get to the truth. That's all we really want. We're all on the same side. We all just want the truth. If it's him, great. If it's not, great. We just want to know the truth. And that seems almost impossible to glean.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market.
But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. It's hard to believe Christmas 2025 is almost here. And our 12 days of Christmas sale is going to end this Sunday at midnight. Site-wide on all the amazing supplements, the huge, giant, biggest selection of Patriot apparel and more is 40% off. And that is a huge deal with apparel. Because on average, it's marked up 55, 60%. So you're getting this stuff almost at cost. A gigantic selection. It's an adventure to wear these shirts out in public. We've got the 1776 Classic Americana line, all the Trump gear, the InfoWars gear, a lot of comedy fun stuff, a lot of really, really cool hoodies, hats, shirts, you name it. It is an adventure. If you haven't experienced it yet, wear this stuff out in public. Now, you'll get a lot of love, but leftist areas need to watch your back. They'll probably try to kill you. But the point is, it is an adventure to wear your Patriot uniform, your colors out in public. But the big thing that you want to take advantage of is 40% off on all the supplements. And a lot of these have been sold out, like Ultra Methylene Red. Super popular, proprietary, original formula, incredible. Goes great with Methylene Blue. Limited supply, back in stock. Bovine Colostrum, limited supply, back in stock. We just got stocked up on a whole bunch of other great items that have sold out as well. So take advantage of these deals right now at thealexshowstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air. They're close to shutting down InfoWars. We're still fighting on. But we have the Alex Jones Network, backup systems, and more. So when you go to thealexshowstore.com, I don't own that. Our sponsor does, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network. And that will ensure that myself, the other host, and the crew stay on the air going into 2026 and beyond, when our voice and our analysis and our guests and our research is absolutely more critical than ever. Not just the general public, but people in government, not just here in America, but around the world. And major corporations are really listening to us. We're having a major effect. So thank you for being the reason we've been on the air. You are the InfoWar. And the InfoWar continues on as we the people fight. But we can't do it without your support. So do your Christmas shopping at thealexshowstore.com and get great products that enrich your life and your health. And keep the tip of the spear on the air. It's a 360 win. It's a no-brainer. Thanks for your past support. Please take action now at thealexshowstore.com. And I thank you for your support.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
How is Alex doing?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
big... My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost... I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. He's losing all weight. Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, Alex looks good, man. Even Joey lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas! If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Seems like we're becoming made more and more aware of the scam of illegal immigration and exactly what's behind it. And there's a case study I want to introduce you to, and it's the state of Maine. It's the state of Maine. The state of Maine has been targeted specifically because... it was too white. You can find all these articles, like this one from Bangor Daily News, all the way back in September of 2012. September of 2012, Bangor Daily News, one of the daily news outlets there in Maine. Why is Maine so white, and why does it matter? When 95% of the people around you have a different skin color, it's not hard to notice that you're different. The reality, that reality marks the life of people of color who live in Maine. Oh dear, how do they do it? How do they survive with all those white people around them? Under the constant pressure of a low crime rate, under constantly being reminded that they're surrounded by people who are good and nice and lovely and wonderful. It must be awful for them that the skin colors are different. Who cares? What are you talking about? Why would you even write this? What does this even mean? How did nobody become outraged at this all the way back in 2012? Why is Maine so white? What does that even mean? Because it's a white state, because white people live there, because it was wilderness before white people took it over. What are you talking about? I mean, do I need to explain it? Do I need to do the thing that just makes all of this unbelievably obvious? What if it was the other way around? Yeah, it really is that easy. But you have to understand the mindset of these people. It really is like somebody going to Cameroon and being like, they're all black. What? Why? Why are they all black? And that's a problem. How do we solve it? It is a crazy thing to say. There's nothing wrong with white people, and a majority of white people living in an area is not a problem to solve, you racist psychopaths. Although Maine ranks just behind Vermont as the whitest state in the nation, census figures indicate the Pine Tree State is slowly becoming a more racially and culturally diverse place. Ethnic populations have increased in all 16 counties between 2000 and 2010. Well, thank goodness. Thank God. You know, we can bring all these people in and then they can be oppressed. Because, of course, you know, all these white people, all that means is oppression. It means probably white supremacy and hatred. So, of course, people are flocking there who aren't white. This doesn't even make any sense. So that was the problem. So the problem was it was too darn white. And as a consequence, too darn safe. It was just so safe there. Blech, just disgusting how safe it was. As they listed in this USA Today article from back in, I believe, 2018, something like that, they rated all the best and worst of states. With Maine, it was the best part of it is that it has the lowest violent crime rate. The worst part, it's the least diverse. These are connected to each other. One of these is an independent variable, and the other one is the dependent variable. Okay? Maine ranks as the safest state in the country, as there were just 124 violent crimes reported for every 100,000 residents, less than a third of the national rate. Amazing. Should we be asking them what they did to accomplish that? Oh, wait, we can see right here. According to the latest census data, 94.4% of Maine's population is white, beating out nearby Vermont and New Hampshire as the least diverse states. Disgusting. How terrible. That's a bad thing, apparently. I'll literally say that about any other group of people. Oh, don't spoil it. We'll get to it. We'll get to what happened when they solved this problem. Then it started. Then it all started in the early 2000s. How Somali refugees in Lewiston paved the way for asylum seekers. Talking about people coming to Lewiston, Maine in the early 2000s. Well, now the city is home to thousands of Somali families. Lewiston had a low population and needed a workforce. They were dying out there, choked by their whiteness. The blending of Maine's largely white population and the influx of refugees from other countries helped to build a larger, more diverse, less safe, less trusting, less cohesive, less effective, more detrimental, but more diverse Maine. I'm telling you, this crew is spoiling my setup here. Yeah, spoiler alert, they brought in a bunch of Somalis and everything got worse in a million different ways. Okay, spoiler, the crime rate's up, the scams are up, billions of dollars have been bilked, they're electing people to office who go out and make speeches about how the only reason they're in office is to benefit Somalia. Yes, okay, let's spoil it now. Spoiler alert, it didn't get better. It got worse in every possible way, on purpose, by design. See, they noticed that Maine was too white, so they decided to help them fix that problem by, against their will, dropping hundreds of thousands of refugees into their communities, who went on to immediately elect their own people and scam the locals out of billions of dollars. Surprise! Surprise, it's the same thing that happened in Minnesota. It's the same thing that happens with Haitians in Georgia. It's the same thing that happens every single goddamn time we drop in a population of people into a congressional district who have no interest or desire or willingness to integrate. Duh. What do you think's gonna happen? But don't worry, they're solving the problem of whiteness. They're solving the problem of white people being a majority. Thank goodness. Now we have all of the other problems that are actually problems. See, the problem of whiteness is that it makes non-white people scared, I guess. I guess the mere existence of white people means that non-white people are scared for some reason. That's the problem. The fright. The terror that it you know, conjures in low IQ people, I guess. That's the threat they're stopping. What they're bringing in as a solution to that problem is crime and misery and scams and overburdened processes and a government that can't keep up with its growth and the total bastardization of the community. I mean, it's a lot of actual, real, tangible, violent problems that it creates, but it solves the imaginary non-existent problem. So, whew. Of course, the imaginary non-existent problem is the only problem that our government seems capable of taking on. The existence of white people, that is. All these other problems, bah, we just can't do anything about it. In fact, we're creating them. But the problem of whiteness, that's an easy solution. Easy solution. So, what do you get? Maine's too white. What's the solution to whiteness? Non-whiteness. Maine governor wants to resettle 75,000 foreign-born migrants in Maine by 2029. 75,000 foreign-born migrants in Maine, specifically because it is too white and that problem has to be solved. Janet Mills, and this was back in 2018. So we've seen the very, very, very beginning of this. Thanks, Butch Lady. Maine Governor Janet Mills signed an executive order Wednesday intending to establish a new migrant resettlement office, telling the Portland newspaper the administration's goal is to attract 75,000 new workers to Maine. The new Mainers, they're calling them. This was back in 2023 that this article was written. They're going to, of course, assist them because obviously if you're going to bring people in to help revive Maine, it's this dying husk of white people and you need to bring people in. But of course, they don't have any skills or any money, no resources whatsoever. So you're going to have to actually pay for them. So it's not actually going to benefit the people of Maine. It is going to be a gigantic drag on them forever from now on. They are going to be taking the position that your children should have in schools. They are going to be bloating those budgets to unsustainable proportion. But it's okay because the only real problem is being solved, the problem that white people exist in an area. Okay? So they did it. So they saw how white Maine was. They saw that as a problem. They decided to fix it. And now they're... entire state is replete with Minnesota Somali style scams across the board. And we go to some of these videos. Let's go to clip number 6 here. A whistleblower has come forward accusing these immigrant populations that Maine was so desperate to have of bilking billions and billions of dollars out of the taxpayers. Let's watch.
Our own Rich McHugh speaking to a whistleblower who says his former boss defrauded millions of dollars from that state's Medicaid program through services that were never delivered.
We started getting some clients saying that, calling and saying, you know, months later that their client owed them hours. They hadn't come in for these shifts and stuff. But I had a time card for it.
And they were billing for it.
They were billing for it.
Our Rich McHugh in Lewiston, Maine for us once again with the latest from his investigation. Rich?
Hi, Blake. The more we look into this story, the crazier it gets. The man who ultimately founded and was the executive director of this social services agency here in Lewiston, Maine, and in other parts of Maine, was at the same time last year running for president of Jubaland, which is a subsection of Somalia on the border with Kenya. His name is Abdullahi Ali, and in an interview, and this is where it gets real crazy, with Kenyan media, he openly discussed contributing money back to Somalia and paramilitary forces. In the interview first reported by the main wire back in March, Abdullahi Ali posted to his own presidential media page in a section we had translated, he said this.
When I was away and abroad, the financial contributions I was sending back were being used to support the forces for buying bullets, ammunition, and food.
Republican State Senator Matt Harrington here in Maine, he's demanded an investigation from Governor Janet Mills.
It's just an absolute slap in the face to every Maine taxpayer that these funds that could be used to help Maine people, Maine veterans, Maine senior citizens, Maine families who are struggling, are being funneled to Somalia directly.
Now, Chris Bernardini, the self-described billing guru who blew the whistle, says he was horrified when he found out about this.
I learned that he was running for president of Jubaland, which is like a small country inside of Somalia, and that he had admitted to funding the militia groups over there. I guess that's part of
In Somalia.
That's part of their thing that they do. Every president has a militia that they have to fund in order to run for president.
And so what'd you think about that?
I was horrified.
Now, as you know, Blake, you saw yesterday, we tried to go to Gateway. They essentially slammed the door on us, said no comment. We tried to reach out to Governor Janet Mills repeatedly. No comment. The head of Health and Human Services won't respond, nor will the three Democratic Somalian-American members of the House of Representatives here in Maine. Nobody will speak to us. Blake?
Rich McHugh, once again, snow on the ground there. Lewiston, Maine for us tonight. Rich, thank you.
Whistleblower alleges Medicaid fraud. Maine's Medicaid program bilked out of millions of dollars in Somali fraud, whistleblower claims. The controversy surrounds Portland-based Gateway Communication Services, drawn comparisons to the $1 billion social service scandal roiling Minnesota. Well, what do they have to do with each other? Oh, it's the exact same people. Oh, it's the exact same program being run, just in a different place. Gee, it's almost like there's a pattern here that we could recognize and then interrupt, but there I go being racist again. They say, oh, we reached out to the governor, Janet Mills. She wouldn't talk to us. You want to know why? Let's look at clip number. Oh my God. We have so many to go to. Let's go to clip number 13 here. Sudanese policy analyst for Governor Janet Mills talking about how Maine is too white. Let's watch.
No reason to assimilate.
We have a woman who's speaking about assimilation for Sudanese people in Maine.
And this woman's actually a policy analyst for the governor of Maine.
Maine is a predominantly white state. It was hard living here. It's been hard asking Sudanese people to move here in Maine. I don't particularly feel like I'm more Sudanese or more American. I fight for Sudan in all my capacity. My advice, again, is for anyone who's coming is to hold on to their mother tongue, to hold on to your culture, hold on to your religion, to your beliefs. There's no reason to assimilate.
No reason to assimilate. She works for the governor. Like, the smart move would be to fake it and say, oh yeah, we like baseball and we make apple pie on Sundays and the kids play outside. There's a white picket fence. And then you kind of like do your little Sudanese.
We get all the cousins here one by one and we start eating Sudanese food.
And then in 5 years, we'll run the whole town. They're not even hiding anymore. And now you have someone working for the governor saying no need to assimilate.
Yeah, no need to assimilate. Why would they? You just need to steal it. You just need to steal everything, and the white people will apologize for you for being white. Of course, everybody, you know, knew this was the case. This is a video we're about to show you from back in 2024. This is July 2024. Former Representative Bruce Poliquin slamming Governor Janet Mills for importing all of these Somalis to Maine when there was no room for them in the first place. So watch clip number 10 here.
I think that there's an element of racist thinking on the left towards the asylum seeker population, because right now we've got like a little over 3,000 available units of housing in Maine, and they're saying, come on in. How humane is it to invite these people here when you know, just physically, the housing isn't there? They're just not enough.
How long were people living in the expo?
Yeah.
Twice now.
Correct.
So like that's the compassionate thing to do, is to invite people who have made this trip from Angola to Brazil, up across the Mexican border, hopped on a plane and come into Portland, invite them here to go live in the expo for 3 months. That's compassion.
Yeah, them and their families with the food options are terrible, that you're on a cot. There's real bathroom facilities.
They said the food options are terrible. And when we went there to try and inspect the conditions at the shelters, they refused us access. Very angry white ladies from the city of Portland came out and refused us access and demanded to know who we are and threatened to call the police on us just because we're trying to inspect the humanitarian conditions at what became a de facto refugee camp and will become so again.
Biden owns this open border. And what about Governor Mills up here, who's now putting in the infrastructure to attract another 75,000 folks? Presumably they would come in here the same way a lot of these other folks already have. We got to have to take care of them, right, through the border illegally. This is really a mess. I'll tell you, folks, also, that on the floor of the House of Representatives, there will never be a real permanent effective fix for this immigration problem until that border is secured. I guarantee you. Until we have a secure border and we know what the rules are as far as entry or not, and we have the guts and the courage and the resources to reject that, and send people back where they should be sent back, until that happens, effectively, on both borders, by the way, north and south now, we will never have a fix to the immigration problem.
Fix to the immigration problem. It's called don't let them in. It's not complicated at all. You know, there's a attempt to build a gigantic, like, super mosque in Alabama, and do you know what happened? The town said no. Now they're not building the mosque. It was that easy. Instead of letting them build the mosque, then getting mad there's a mosque, then trying to protest the mosque, and then being called a racist for not liking the mosque, and then the mosque staying there, you just say no in the first place. Mosque never gets built. You never have to deal with any of it. Isn't that simple and that easy? Look at that. We solved it right there. You just say no. We want to come to Maine. Okay, no. Problem solved. The immigration problem has been solved. But obviously they knew this. The state couldn't handle it. Even all the way back in like 2010, there was a big hubbub because the governor of Maine was like, we can't handle the influx. It was nothing compared to what they're being faced with now. And it's causing burden, strain on the entire governmental system. The scams are obviously beginning and have begun and are continuing. And of course, what happens when you bring in all of these people who do not care about America, who openly state their lack of willingness to assimilate, who bring with them the mindset of the third world that doesn't see voting as some sort of sacred act where you vote your conscience and it's, you know, this, you know, deal between you and your representative. It's an ethnic headcount. And in the countries that they come from, that they still adhere to the cultural strictures by, there's no problem with bribing people to vote for you. There's no problem with, you know, all voting as an ethnic bloc to get your person in charge just benefit you, regardless of how it affects the people around you. They just come and do that, and there's no reason for them not to. When you have people who work for the governor bringing them in, telling them, don't even worry about assimilating, just take over, just dominate. And that's exactly what's happening. Let's go now to Maine Representative Deka Dehalok, saying her goal is to help the country of Somalia. Clip number 12. Again, this is what the purpose of bringing these people in. You drop them in an area that is now theirs. If they get to vote for who they want. And while if they had to appeal to Americans saying, I support Somalia, they'd never get elected. They don't have to appeal to Americans because it's nothing but their co-ethnic Somalians in the area of their constituency. So let's watch the result of that.
Policies, how can the politics in Somalia can be, you know, resonate what we have here in the United States, the democracy that we have? How can you help us, be a better country and build back what we used to have back in long time ago? So hopefully we will be able to help our country, our former country, Somalia.
Our former country. It's like when Jonathan Greenblatt, the ADL, is like, Israel has to. They're not American. They don't care about America. They don't even pretend to care about America. Y'all, They're actively destroying our democracy that they're so proud of. They just like it because it's an easy way to scam us. Like our democracy, the American democracy, has worked out great for them. Of course they love it. It's easily hijacked, easily corrupted. It's easy to vote your way into other people's wealth. Of course they love democracy. And that's not the only result. So we go, as Daniel Concannon says at Too White to Tweet, Portland, Maine in 2000 was 97% white. By 2025, it has now become 77% white. 20% of Maine has been ethnically cleansed in 25 years, is what that means. In 2018, USA Today published Best and Worst Thing About Every State, in which it stated the best thing about Maine was that it had the lowest crime rate, and the worst thing about Maine was that it was the least diverse. In 2023, a lone white man held an It's Okay to Be White banner, that is a banner that says it's okay to be white, in public in Portland, Maine, and the city council held an emergency meeting to condemn that man. But there will be no emergency meeting to condemn Jaisi Blash Kamia and Moga Wani Yanga for committing armed robbery with a stolen firearm, or to warn Portland residents that they're already back on the streets. And if you keep scrolling down, you'll see the mugshots here with the headline, Portland teens charged with gunpoint robbery at Bug Light Park, both released after 2 days. Now, if you have a banner that says it's okay to be white, the city council holds an emergency meeting and ends up like launching a new office to make sure this type of stuff doesn't happen anymore. Here's the series of events. They hung a it's okay to be white poster. Portland, Maine had an emergency town hall meeting about the banner. The community rallies against racism after It's Okay to Be White banner displayed in Portland. And now the It's Okay to Be White activist was assaulted after Portland socialists called for violence against him. And so now that the white population of Maine has been successfully eradicated by 20%, the result is things like this. Clip number 9, here's what it's like in Portland, Maine these days. Globalist media calls neo-colonialist new Mainers. Globalist imported neo-colonial squatters are angry they're getting better treatment than American citizens in Maine.
And anger, because when you leave a country torn apart by war and you come to ours, you hear that there's no space for you.
I don't know how to explain. It's very bad.
Johnny Francisco is just 18 years old and moved here from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. He says he's staying at the Portland Expo with his sister and mother.
And here we are sleeping in bad conditions. They're giving us fresh food.
Complaints of poor living conditions and no answers as to where they will go once mid-August hits, when the city and venue will no longer allow them to stay here. We are having a bad time. The people who work inside don't respect us. There is no food, nowhere to sleep, and we are having a bad time. Toto Capitan is from Angola. He speaks French and says the protest started as word spread.
So there they are, you know, protesting and hating white people, protesting against all of this. So this is what happened. So Maine, 97% white, no problems, no violent crime, no issues to speak of except for the whiteness, which is the only problem the left cares about. They solved this problem by ethnically cleansing 20% of the state. Now there's just mobs of Africans standing around demanding things. They're scamming Maine out of $2 billion. And then you have this, Bangor walking tour traces legacy of black Mainers and community trailblazers, talking about how black people built the state of Maine. So now they've come in, ethnically replaced 20% of your population, and now they're erasing your history, saying they were here the entire time. And it's their state, and it always has been. It's ethnic cleansing, American style.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment.
But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
If you thought we were done talking about the anti-white propaganda, you're sadly mistaken. I hate covering this stuff. I genuinely do. But it's the thing that's happening. It's like, I was never, like, coming up, whiteness was never important to me. Israel was never a major topic of concern. But as you look around the news today, you see the attacks on white people as being the most egregious and really sickeningly hateful trend in the world. And you see Israel stopping any pushback. And it's like the 1-2 punch that has left Western Europe in a state of abject desperation at this point. And it just, maybe it's just me, but I'm able to see this stuff like a space alien. Like, you just look at this and it's just, you just shed all of your preconceived notions and all of the societal programming that is acting like a filter in your brain, where for reasons you probably haven't thought about and don't understand, hearing white people say something makes your skin crawl, and hearing non-white people say the same thing doesn't have that same effect. You got to get over that. You got to break through that. You got to recognize that what's happening is the same thing that's happened over and over in history. It's just white people are the victims now. So you got to stand up for them. Aren't you the type of person that stands up for the victim? I know I am. I know I'm always on the side of the underdog. I'm always on the side of the innocent. I'm always on the side of the group of people being oppressed and tyrannized by another group. In that case, white people are the people I'm with now. They're the ones. We are the ones being oppressed. We are the ones being condemned endlessly for no reason. Let's go to clip number 16 here. Just in case you need to be reminded of how this is talked about in the mainstream media in America. Let's watch.
We don't need white people leading the Democratic Party right now. White men who think like you.
To the white men running to be the Democratic presidential candidate, can you not?
Where people just get very, very excited about white men. I mean,
we have to stop demonizing people and realize the biggest terror threat in this country is white men.
Our country should be more fearful of white men.
People of color have been saying since the election that the Trump election was about white supremacy.
But what about the other side of the coin? White privilege.
Been able to cash in on white privilege.
Dear white people.
Democratic Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, she's catching heat for apparently deciding to only grant interviews to black or brown journalists.
I don't want to say we need to go start killing all white folks, but it's like,
but
maybe they need to feel pain in the heart.
Yeah, maybe we just need to kill all white people. That's reasonable discussion about race. White people saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't be killed. White supremacy, you're going down the Nazi trail there. You better watch it, okay? Even Matt Walsh is catching up to this. Let's go to clip number 15 here.
Why was Carmelo Anthony allowed to receive his diploma? He killed an unarmed white kid and then lied to police about stashing his knife in the bleachers. And it seems like the kind of thing that should disqualify you from graduating. I don't know. And while we're at it, what evidence was there that Derek Chauvin actually killed George Floyd? Even the jury told CNN they didn't actually think Chauvin killed Floyd. They convicted Chauvin because, in their view, he didn't demonstrate enough compassion to a man who was clearly overdosing of his own accord. And while we're at it, why were the prosecutors allowed to lie to the jury about the relative amount of fentanyl in Floyd's system by comparing his blood samples to samples from overdose victims that were taken long after their deaths? Until we get serious answers to these questions, don't talk to us about the Cinnabon woman who had a bad day. Okay, she's not a hero or martyr, but she is the predictable result of decades of anti-white propaganda that has destroyed far too many lives. And like the Cinnabon woman, we are all tired of it.
Yeah, she actually is a hero and she is a martyr. So, yeah, the soullessness of straight white men. I mean, we showed the compilation 5 minutes long of all the different headlines. If you're sick of hearing about this, imagine how sick we are of hearing this. It's been my entire life. I figured this out in kindergarten. Right. Oh, gee, if white people are afraid to talk about themselves, that's kind of a sense of superiority. Maybe we're not special and do deserve to be protected.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. Third hour of The War Room is on. I wish I could talk about different stuff. I really do. But it seems like this is... I mean, all this is so deeply intertwined. You want to talk about the economy, you better be talking about immigrants. You want to be talking about immigrants, you better be talking about the way immigrants are seen as a weapon to destroy white people. You want to talk about the weapons to destroy white people, you got to talk about all of the psychological programming that's gone in, the propaganda that has white people calling for their own destruction. All of these things are deeply, deeply, deeply intertwined. Our economy would be better if white people hadn't been indoctrinated into hating themselves and being okay with being replaced by the immigrants that are now destroying the economy. All of these things are intertwined like a giant chain wrapped around our neck. It's time to break it already. My God. And this has real, tangible, horrible effects that we'll get to in just a second. Let's go first to clip number 17 because people are waking up to this. And... by the way, just to pat ourselves on the back a little bit, you understand that whether it's Israel or white people or war or Trump, we have been consistent the entire time. You can go back. You can go on band.video. You can go to The War Room. Or for me, you can go to The American Journal. You can scroll back down to when we started the show in 2021. And I'm saying exactly the same stuff I'm saying now, even before I had the show. When I'd come on and host, we said exactly the same thing. So while everybody else is waking up to this, we've been here the whole time shaking you, yelling, wake up, wake up. Finally, people are. But because so many people are, it might give you the sense that InfoWars is also following this trend, that we're also, you know, just moving along in this group with everybody else. No, no, no. We've been here the entire time. Because despite all of the attacks that we get from pro-white people, all the attacks that we get from anti-Semites who want to be mad at us for not taking their side on white supremacy or hating people because of their race or immutable characteristics, we have always been pro-America, and we have always stood against the oppression and destruction of groups of people, even if they're white. It's actually a consistent belief to have. to look at Jim Crow and see black people by law, the government preventing them from having the same rights as white people, you say that's wrong. It shouldn't be that way. You see the opposite in terms of races, you say that's also wrong. That's the consistent belief. That's the belief we've had the entire time. And the entire time I've been here at InfoWars for 7 years, white people have been the target of oppression, the target of assault, the target of violent attack on the basis of their race. And we have always stood up against that. So I'm glad more people are coming around to this. I'm glad more people are just ripping the tinted shades off their eyes. They can actually see the world for what it is and actually recognize. And again, I've always said there is a weird form of inverted white supremacy where white people don't take threats to white people seriously. White people have been so pumped up, you know, by their own narcissism that they think it's fine, you know, if all these people move in. What's it going to do to me? I'm white. It's like, you're not special, dude. You're the same as anybody else. White people aren't immortal. We're not invulnerable. We're not capable of dealing with an endless amount of hate and repression. We will go away. We will suffer. We will die. So stop acting like you're special. Stop acting like you're invulnerable. Start taking your own side just like everybody else does. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with loving everybody and including your own people in that everybody. There is something wrong with all these other groups who hate white people, who despise and denigrate and want to destroy white people. They're the bad guys. But the modern mainstream morality, just like the only problem that exists is white people existing, right? Crime, not a real problem. Overburdened governmental programs, not a real problem. Whiteness, that's the only problem we're capable of coming together to try to solve. It's the same thing. It's the only thing you're allowed to believe is, you know, white people are evil. And that's the mindset that's been perpetuated to the extent now that you have people openly calling on murdering white people and thinking they're the moral ones. I don't have to justify my existence to anybody. And I don't have to justify my outrage to anybody about this. And again, if you want to point to violent white supremacists, if you want to point to white people that hate other people, I'm against them too. So it's not even a gotcha on that. But at least they're the fringe. At least they're the weirdos nobody wants to talk to. At least they're on the outskirts. When it comes to anti-white hate, it is in the direct center of the Democratic coalition. It is the glue holding all of them together. And the people that promote the most vicious, hateful, and vindictive mindset towards white people are their most elevated and celebrated celebrities. The highest rank in their academia. Okay, so let's go to a couple clips here. First, we'll go to clip number 17. This is back to what I was saying, where people are waking up to this and coming around to where InfoWars has been for decades. Let's go to clip number 17. This is a woman named Justine Brooke Murray coming around to the understanding, yeah, white people aren't evil. In fact, the anti-white hatred is the evil thing. Let's watch.
White privilege means you'll face jail time for saying bad words to any minority, but any minority can stab you over those bad words, and the media and justice system will not only rule that you deserved it, but they'll let the actual criminals out of jail dozens of times. Your words will count as hard-hitting news, while their violence might get a mention or two in the tabloids. So, yeah, lecture me again about my privilege, because I've yet to find it.
That's a very good point. Again, disequal, not unequal, disequal. Okay? If our words created headlines and their words didn't, that would be unequal. If we were arrested for violence but they weren't arrested for the same violence, that would be unequal. No, we're arrested for words. We're condemned for words. They're celebrated for violence. That's how unequal this is. And this, we only get to this point by the continual propaganda that's pumped out. Again, not by fringe, random, radical leftists that are condemned by everybody else, but by their most celebrated, their most uplifted, their most special people, right? This is a recording from a woman who Yale Medical School invited. She is a Columbia PhD. And here she is, no uncertain words, fantasizing about just literally murdering white people. And she was invited by Yale to discuss the psychopathy of whiteness. Let's watch clip 18 here. Yale School of Medicine Child Study Center hosted this woman for the psychopathic problem of the white mind. This is what she said.
Unloading a revolver into the head of any white person that got in my way, burying their body, and wiping my bloody hands as I walked away relatively guiltless. With a balance in my step, like I did the world a favor. This is the cost of talking to white people at all. The cost of your own life as they suck you dry. There are no good apples out there. White people make my blood boil. Psychological predicament. Because white people feel that we are bullying them when we bring up race. They feel that we should be thanking them for all that they have done for us. They are confused, and so are we. Can you hear me okay? Yeah? Okay. We keep forgetting that directly talking about race is a waste of our breath. We are asking a demented, violent predator who thinks that they are a saint or a superhero to accept responsibility. It ain't gonna happen. They have five holes in their brain. It's like banging your head against a brick wall, just like sort of not a good idea. We need to remember that directly talking about race to white people is useless because we're at the wrong level of conversation. Addressing racism assumes that white people can see and process what we are talking about. They can't. That's why they sound demented. They don't even know they have a mask on. White people think it's their actual face. We need to get to know the mask.
Anti-whiteness is now institutionally accepted in academia, education, media, and everywhere else. Anti-white rhetoric is leading to anti-white violence. Of course it is. Now, that woman was invited to Yale to give that presentation in which she fantasized about killing white people, saying it would be doing the world a favor, condemning white people of being incapable of even talking about race because we're so stupid, I guess. We're so inhuman that we don't even understand that the face we're wearing isn't our real face. You don't have to stand for this. And what are we going to do about this? What's the solution to this? You might say, well, you know, what do you got? You got free speech here. She has free speech. She wasn't calling for direct violence. She was fantasizing about killing white people. It's not good. She's being hosted at this university to hold this talk. What are we supposed to do, right? We're just helpless. It's not like the government has all of these levers they could pull to bring the Ivy Leagues into their heel, right? Right? I mean, if the government could do that, it would probably do it, right? Like, do you understand the frustration when the U.S. government basically threatens to bankrupt Harvard and Yale because their students are protesting in favor of Palestine? So in order to shut down the political activity of their students, the Trump administration basically lines up the Ivy Leagues against a wall, points a gun to their head, and says, institute anti-Semitism laws, or you get the bullet. But when Yale is hosting women fantasizing about killing white people, they don't even mention it. They don't even recognize it. They don't even notice it's happening. This is the 1-2 punch. You've got these vicious, hateful idiots that are given premier, you know, spotlight by our academia. The government does nothing about it. There's no outrage over it. There's no attempt to, you know, punish Yale for hosting this type of crap. But then if they dare to even give credence to people protesting Israel, it's all hands on deck. Just no limitation to what they can do. No barriers to their freedom to act. They're bankrupting them. They're writing articles about them. They're suing them. They're kicking out their president. Like, do you understand the frustration? It's not even about Israel. It's about seeing the way our government moves for people when they aren't us. It's about the power the government has to correct these problems that they never wield unless it's people exploiting us, Israel in particular. We'll delve more into that later, but what is the outcome of this? What is the ultimate consequence of what we've been showing you today? The endless hatred of white people, the endless discrimination from our most powerful and most prominent voices. Well, I've got three videos from today to show you. Okay. Now I could show you endless videos, literally endless, because by the time you watch all of them, 100 more have been created. You could just go on forever. Endless videos of white people being attacked viciously by black people. We were showing one earlier today. White guy on a train being beaten for no discernible reason. I mean, these things happen literally every single day. So let's just look at the three videos from today where it's not a white adult being attacked, but instead it's the more vulnerable things that we love. Let's go first to clip number 14. Here's a little, you know, conflict between neighbors and the outcome of the dehumanization of the white people. Let's watch. There's a guy power washing his truck when a neighbor comes up.
You yelling at my mama over there?
I didn't yell at
her. They have words. You yelled at my mom. No, I didn't yell at anybody. What are you talking about?
Why don't we back up? If you continue that.
You know how old my mama is? Let's go here, okay?
No,
because the
no,
next time...
No, 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 I'm going to go back.
Booted the dogs. This guy's got a little, couple little dogs. He picks one up. One walks up and just kicks the other dog across the lawn. Boots it like a football. All right. That's just one example. We got two more from today. That was today. Let's go to clip number 19. Black mom and daughter bully a small child and an elderly man at a trampoline park. So now here it looks like a, grandfather's brought his grandson to the trampoline park to have a good time. Unfortunately for him, there's, should we call them propagandized Americans there? Let's watch. There you go. Just, kicking a little white kid in the chest for no reason. Mom's worst nightmare ever. I let dad take Hunter to Sky Zone and they were in a group, messing with my son. And so it's like a, you know, 14-year-old black girl just kicking a 8-year-old white kid in the face. I'm literally so hurt I cannot describe it in words. And what does the mom do? Does mom freak out? I mean, I have kids. You take a kid to the park. Your kid, you know, they're not always best behaved. Sometimes they accidentally hurt a kid or they, you know, you see them rip a toy out of another kid's hands. What do? You run up to your kid and you go, whoa, hey, that's not how we act. That's not how we treat people. Not this mom. This mom gets in the face of the kid's dad or the kid's grandfather and starts yelling at him because he's mad that his little grandson just got booted in the face by a black girl twice his age. And the mom's mad at the grandfather, not the daughter. She did a great job. Because remember, white people are evil. Remember Joy Reid? We killed 90% of the natives when they tried to help us. I mean, we're evil. We're bad. We deserve it. I guess that little white kid's lucky all he got was a boot in the throat. Right? Maybe he's lucky that it was a teenager that did it to him rather than an adult. Because nowadays, you go out with your white family in America, it's not a guarantee that your white kid will be safe from attack. Let's go to clip number 20 now. Here's a white family who thought it'd be a nice Christmas time activity to go ice skating. Let's watch. Black guy on an ice skating rink. Goes up to like a 12-year-old, slams into the ice. Kid starts crying and like flailing because he landed on his tailbone and may have gotten spinal damage. But hey, you know, it's just a black adult assaulting a 12-year-old child for no reason because he thinks it's funny, right? It's not like this would ever be national news. It's not like this is even a local news story. Hell, the guys that did it filmed it and uploaded it because they think it's funny. Point of view, just ruined a kid's Christmas. Why? Does he have to have spinal surgery now? No, but see, they can pretend it was an accident because it's ice skating and like sometimes you'll run into each other. And so you can pretend to be doing that and get your rocks off by assaulting white children. Are we done with this yet? Gotta figure out why people are so enthralled by Nazis. Whatever could it be? Why are all these white people feeling like they're under attack? Because we continually tell them that they're evil and then people act out on it? Because in a single day in 2025, I can find 3 different videos of black people assaulting a dog and 2 children and celebrating it and laughing about it and being supported in this by their friends and family? What is it going to take? How often is it going to have to happen? How many times? How long are the compilations going to have to get for white people realize what is actually going on here? All of the talk about empathy, all of the talk about diversity, it's all a lie. It always has been. And for the last 80 years or so, America has been subjected to the bastardization, to the racialization of our population. And white people the whole time have been going along with it in good faith, believing that if we drop our, you know, ethnic central identity, so will everybody else. We can all live along together and hold hands and sing Kumbaya under the rainbow. It's always been a abject, flagrant lie. That doesn't mean we have to hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. There are things I would do to some of these people that are unspeakable, sure. And in my heart would be the love of their victims, not the hatred of them. I don't hate black people, I don't hate Asian people, I don't hate Jews, I don't hate anybody. But at a certain point, we have to stop being victims. And we have to stop listening to the victimizers. And we have to stop believing the lies about diversity, about the modern world, about refugees. At a certain point, we have to stop being suckers. Stop being victims. And stop acting like we're better than anybody else. And that really is how I think of this. Any other group of people subject to this, there'd be no end to it. There'd be no end to the discussion. There would be laws written. It would be insane. Why isn't it that way? Because white people think we don't deserve protection because we think we don't need it? Because we think that we are just better than everybody, and so it's okay if we get attacked? No, we're not better or more invulnerable than anybody. We're just as vulnerable as anybody else, only nobody else is getting attacked like we are. Nobody else is getting assaulted like we are. Nobody else is getting oppressed like we are. It's time to get over yourselves, white people. Get over yourselves and realize there's nothing moral or good about being a victim of a crime or to let other people be victims of crimes. And I'll try to move on, but I mean, I could literally go on and on and on about this. I got another stack here just of what Somalians have done to us. It's not just Somalians, it's everybody. You want to get into Europe? I got multiple videos from today of the European people being told they don't have a right to their homeland. This has nothing to do with stolen land. This has nothing to do with crocodile tears they cry. You have to be able to see through all of that and understand fundamentally what's happening here. Materially, what is happening here is that there is a worldwide attempt to genocide white people, and they're succeeding because they've convinced all of us to lay down. That's it.
Nicotinamide. Now that's a $1,000 word. But what it is the raw precursor of NAD. Now NAD energizes the entire body, cleans out the cells. It's amazing. But most people cannot absorb raw NAD. That's why you need the precursor, which this product has from organic form, but it has so much more. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so excited to announce this new product, DNA Revival. This doesn't just have the precursor to NAD in it. It's got all the other organic compounds, you know, to clean out your cells, give you incredible energy with no letdown, and supercharge your overall health. Right now, you get this product out of the gates, massively discounted at thealexshowstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, all the products are incredible. They all work synergistically together. But I've got to tell you, Ultra DNA Revival is a game changer for everyone. Young people, works great for them. But particularly middle-aged and older folks will really feel the difference. Now, things like our ultramethylene blue hits in 15 to 20, 30 minutes, okay? Our CMOS takes a week or so to build up. So does the bovine colostrum. Same thing with this. A week to 2 weeks, but within a month, 90-plus percent of people report incredible changes on every front. You need to go out and do your own research into NAD. You do your own research into all the ingredients that are in this product. And then realize, this is the private label of a nationwide bestseller that has the top reviews in the country. Most of the products at TheAuctionStore.com, we didn't invent. We go out. What has the highest ratings? What's the most tested? What has the best reviews? They let us private label it, and we sell it to you. That way you get a great product at a competitive price, and you keep the show on the air. So take advantage of this new product right now, Ultra DNA Revival, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and know that it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. But if you don't get DNA Revival, you're really missing out. You owe it to yourself, your family, and your overall health to try this product. You can't lose. It funds the operation, and we know it really works. Here's some of the known effects this compound delivers. Noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes. Faster recovery and greater endurance. Sharper focus and mental clarity. Support for healthy blood sugar levels already in the normal range. Stronger immune function. Enhanced liver health and natural detoxification. Reduced everyday stress, anxiety, and protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And it just gets better from there. Ultra DNA Revival is the newest addition to TheAlexShowStore.com, and we're extremely excited about it. If I could get a racehorse that had just won the Triple Crown and run it the next few races, I'd do it. It's that simple. And that's what I've done. If I could get Tom Brady at his peak to be my quarterback, I would. Well, that's how private labeling works. We go out to the top firms, the highest ratings, the best customer reviews, and we simply say, can we private label it? And in every case, they say, yeah, we can private label it. So it's not like we're reinventing the wheel. Whatever is the hottest, best reviews that people love, we go out and we get it. So when you get it, you love it. Well, that's what Ultra DNA Revival is all about. It's a private label, a best-selling brand that is simply amazing. You can empower your body, your immune system, your health, your clarity, your libido, your focus, and literally clean out your cells while at the same time funding this operation in the face of the globalists. That, my friends, is a 360 win at TheAlexShowStore.com.
The bat phone is ringing off the hook. The Joker is at it again.
Quick, Robin. We must analyze this threat. Do you have a location on the Joker, Robin?
Yes, he's at the abandoned warehouse on 5th Street.
I'm sick of that newscom Joker. He's going down, Robin!
Blast you, bat brain! Must you ruin every rib-tickling riddle I concoct?
He thought he was going to get away with all of that Ultra DNA Revival!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. Oh yeah, we're getting into it now. Moving from our first favorite topic, racism, to our second, Jews. Oh, hooray. Nothing I love more than learning about how my entire country is under the heel of a highly coordinated, tightly allied group of ethnic supremacists. It's just wonderful. Now, it's interesting because while you will be called a conspiracy theorist for talking about Israel's deliberate takeover of our communication systems, it was in fact telegraphed by them in announcements made by Bibi Netanyahu. There are a couple aspects of this. There's Project Esther? Project Esther from the Heritage Foundation. That was in place before Trump even got elected, with the plan of the, you know, full-fledged Zionist takeover of the Republican Party. But then you have the media takeover, the Eighth Front War, as Benjamin Netanyahu calls it, where they announced, hey, we're losing the argument here, you know, because of all the dead babies. You know, our argument is 3,000-year-old Bible verse, and their argument is daily videos of dead babies. So they lost that argument. They're losing that argument. And so they went on the attack. Now, the other option would be to stop killing babies, but that was never actually an option. So the only option left available is to take over social media, take over mainstream media, pass laws to stop anti-Semitism, take over the Ivy League, and do anything else, regardless of precedent or law or spirit of our founding principles. None of that matters. All that matters is the freedom of action of the Israeli government. Again, not that they're actually under threat. Like, it'd be different if it's like, wow, we really got to do something to stop the attack that we're under. No, it's just like all they have to do is stop genociding people, but they don't want to do that. So this is all in service of that. All of this is to guarantee that they can continue to have total freedom of action in the Middle East, kill whoever the hell they want, and the American people will be ignorant to it or will support it. That's what the ultimate goal is. And they're doing this in a variety of different ways, obviously, right? You've got Larry Ellison taking over, now they're trying to take over Warner Brothers. Trump has stepped in to stop them. Jared Kushner is involved with Larry Ellison's son and trying to take that over. They took over CBS, installed Barry Weiss, hardcore, you know, Zionist apparatchik in front of that. She's now picked Tony Dokupil as anchor to CBS Evening News. Now, he's such a, I mean, he's a self-described, quote, Zionist fanatic. I'm sorry, Barry Weiss is a self-described Zionist fanatic. Tony Dokupil went so far as to have an adult circumcision to get the job. Do you think I'm kidding? Do you think I'm kidding about this? The man converted to Judaism and wrote an article called How I Made the Cut for My New Religion. It was in 2014, the man actually chopped off a tip of his organ, and now he's got the job at CBS News. Congratulations, it worked. Okay, it's a little on the nose, you might say. But they're going farther than that, and they're desperately co-opting the evangelical movement, which has become a poison in America. And they have taken 1,070 handpicked evangelical pastors to Israel to become ambassadors for that foreign state. Now, if we weren't in fact ruled by the very people carrying this out, then this would be illegal. I mean, all of these people would have to register as foreign agents. It'd be a big scandal. It'd be outrageous. But lucky for them, the very people carrying this out are the ones who would be in a position to stop it if they cared to. They say this is an effort to help Israel in their Eighth Front War for information in the U.S. Last month, we learned Israel's registered agents Show Faith by Works' Israel propaganda campaign outlines plans to geofence 523 churches for Israeli targeted marketing. They started hiring faith leaders to spread propaganda this month. Israel flew 1,070 faith leaders to Israel for training in this regard. Let's go to clip number 34 here. This is what it looks like in Israel as they get their marching orders and their propaganda from the satanic elite that run that country. Let's watch. Do you know where your pastor was last week? This is from Gen X Girl 1994. Gen X Girl 1994 on X.
The Ambassador Summit taking place this week.
We're here for 7 days to support Israel and to take what we learn back to our people back home.
I believe it's imperative that we educate the younger generation on what it means to stand for Israel.
There's
a lot to learn, a lot to, you know, be present for, and that is what I expect to do.
I'm on fire to spread the good news about Israel.
Israel's God's place. Jerusalem is God's place for God's people, and we need to support them.
Reverend Johnny Moore.
Johnny Moore, prominent pro-Israel evangelical, named chair of Gaza Aid Group. Isn't that nice? How GHF turned Gaza aid distribution into a profit-driven death trap.
To answer a call. Our faith requires action when darkness rises. And here we are, where the promises of Abraham still echo, where the psalmist's songs still rise. And we gather here on this closing afternoon to declare a spiritual war.
Yes, we welcome everybody that's showing your support for Israel, and in the merit of Pastor Rocky being here.
It's one of the places hardest hit by the invasion of Hamas.
Every nation is only as strong as the men and women who've been willing to serve and sacrifice.
Good morning. We're worshiping on the Mount of Olives, the descendant of Jesus when he went to heaven, and where he's going to come back and return, and he's going to go right over there, and he's going to walk through those gates. They built up, the Muslims have put all their graves, they built walls, he's going to walk right through it.
Absolutely. As a Christian, we support those that are God's chosen people.
Israel is a hero to the world. Israel is on the front lines of terrorism.
Anymore. Let's take it down. We got to take this down. You're all quizzling traitors, actually. And you understand, well, you understand what they believe, right? They believe that Jesus is not going to come back until World War III starts. They're trying to start World War III. Their vision of Christianity is so utterly warped. They think it's a good thing that Israel is murdering Muslim people because that will outrage the Muslims to attack Israel, which will result in a massive widespread war that they believe will end with Israel nuking Damascus as the sign of Jesus' coming back. So they actually want world war. They want nukes to go off in the Middle East because they have been tricked by a less than 100-year-old lie about Christianity that Jesus needs our help to come back. He needs our help. We need to start the war that will be so bad that the only way humanity itself doesn't get completely obliterated is the direct intervention from the God of the universe. That's what they're trying to bring about. You are serving the devil. Is that hard to understand? Literally explain it to anybody that isn't in your cult. It doesn't make any sense. Try to explain to non-Christians that Jesus Christ wants you to start World War III. You don't even have to know about Jesus. No, that's not what he wants. So what are you talking about? So 1,000 pastors, 1,000 Christian American pastors have been taken to this satanic little Rothschild cancer node on the coast of the Mediterranean to be programmed into leading their American flock towards a pro-war, dehumanizing genocidal campaign that they believe will result in Jesus Christ coming back, because without us, I mean, you know, what's God going to be able to do, right? God needs you to start a war so that he can come back. That's what you people believe? Just utterly asinine and offensive. And again, they should be registered as foreign agents. They won't be. So let's go to clip 33 here. You can check the list to see if your church is on. And this is the thing. This isn't going to help Israel. It's going to destroy the church. What happened with the Republican Party? The Republican Party decided to go all in on the Israeli faction. They decided to do what these evangelicals are now doing, become the lickspittle slaves of Israel. What's happened to the Republican Party? Oh, we're failing on every front. We're probably going to be destroyed as a party. We're going to lose America because nobody who actually supports America can find support because support is contingent on being a Zionist. They're co-opting evangelicalism just like they co-opted conservative politics. It's not going to help evangelicalism. It's not going to help Judaism. It's not going to help Israel. It's going to destroy the vessel that they're delivering it in. So now people are going to go to church and they're going to be told by their pastor that they have to support this genocidal, psychopathic death cult in Israel. And they're going to think, I guess Christianity's not for me. There's a lot of speculation about this with Charlie Kirk, too, because remember, Charlie Kirk was extremely pro-Israel. He started to move away from the political Israel faction towards the end of his life. Sure, that was coincidental. But he still supported the state of Israel, and that was tied up in his religion. Now, there are rumors that he'd started going to Catholic Mass. He started to branch out and look at Catholicism, which makes perfect sense, because if your religious beliefs are tied up with your support of Israel and you start realizing how evil Israel is, how utterly evil Israel is, and I mean, I don't even have time. I mean, the videos I could show you out of Israel. You think kicking a dog is bad? I can show you videos of Israeli West Bank settlers literally picking up baby lambs and cracking their spines over their knees. That's how sick these people are, that Christians are now worshiping the ground they walk on. It's disgusting. And when you associate your religion with that, if a part of your faith system is that you have to support that, people are going to go, well, I guess I have to abandon my faith. People are going to abandon their faith. There's a huge problem right now on the right wing, I consider it a problem, with paganism. There are these pagans walking around acting like Jesus Christ didn't kick their God's butts 2,000 years ago. Which on that note, if you're a pagan, you're an idiot. And as a Christian, I probably genuinely believe in your gods more than you. I actually do think that there are spirits people called gods. I actually do think there were fallen angels. People called Thor, people called Apollo. I actually do believe they have the power to prophecy. I actually do believe all that stuff. I don't know if these pagans really do. I think it's just an edgelord thing. Do you know what the last prophecy of the Oracle at Delphi was? The Oracle at Delphi that like Homer visited, that's talked about in the Odyssey, that had been visited by pagans for 2,000 years because it gave accurate prophecy. Do you know what its last prophecy ever was? It was an admission of defeat. It was Apollo saying, we're not going to be interacting with you anymore. We have been driven out. The old gods are dead. That's what the last prophecy of the Oracle at Delphi was. So if you're actually a pagan, you actually believe these gods, listen to your own gods who told you they lost. Why do we have a problem with paganism? Because people look at Christian practice in America and they see it as nothing other than a Jewish trick. They're like, oh, you're Christian, you worship a Jew, and all the Jews want you to be Christian so they can take advantage of you. The love of Israel that Christian churches have adopted in America is literally destroying Christianity. Because it's false. It's a heresy. It's utterly absurd. And you just have to read the Bible in vernacular English to see over and over and over again, it says, the promise to Abraham doesn't belong to the Jews anymore. It belongs to the Christians. That all those old rules the Jews had to follow, they don't have to follow them anymore because Christ is here. That the whole point of Judaism existing ever was as a delivery vessel for Christ. Right? Judaism was like this egg. The bird is Jesus. It's like people look at the bird flying around, they go, oh, so you must love the egg, right? It's like, no, the egg was just the vessel. The temple itself, like an egg, was cracked and destroyed when Jesus came. Now there are people out there trying to put the shells of the egg back together, and then they're going to present some sort of ungodly abomination and say, see, this is the bird, actually. utterly infuriated. Why do we put up with this? Why are Christians in America going over there? Why are they allowed to return? Let's go to clip number 33 here. Here's that list of churches that went to Israel for re-education.
Day or so ago, I did a video talking about 1,000 pastors that were flown to Israel to be re-educated on Israel and the things that Israel wants.
We are going to train 100,000 Christian ambassadors to be ambassadors in their own country for the state of Israel, to defend Israel's brand and to combat anti-Semitism.
And many people were like, well, what churches was it? And I would love to tell you. To give a big shout out to Gen X Girl on X and her friend Lynn 1171992 for helping her out putting all this together. There's tons. I can't go through them all in this video. It would take forever. But if you were in, say, like Texas, California, Arizona, Nevada, there's like one or two from West Virginia. There's one or two from Utah. Lots and lots and lots from Texas, Colorado, and California. Like lots and lots. There's a couple from North Carolina and then Wyoming. Baptist church, a lot of non-denominational churches.
You can just see how many there are. There are no Catholic churches, no Orthodox churches. It's all Protestant. It's all evangelical. 25,000 members in some of these churches. You should check yours. And if your priest has gone to one, you should leave your church and you should tell him why. You should find a different church that isn't acting as the willful servants of a foreign satanic state founded by the Rothschilds and still run by their cabal. The hell is wrong with you? Now, a couple videos have dropped during the show today that I want to go to, so I haven't watched them. It's Ron Lauder, Despicable Ghoul, Skeleton Man, who's in charge, who runs the World Jewish Congress, which shouldn't exist. Here's Ron Lauder. Let's go to clip number 44 first, about how the Jewish diaspora and the World Jewish Congress plan to use their inordinate power to silence their enemies. Let's watch.
Anti-Semitism is rampant throughout our culture. For years, too many brushed it aside. They said, it's just a few angry kids. It won't go further. This is America. There's no anti-Semitism in America. They were wrong.
There wasn't.
Over the past 2 years, anti-Semitism didn't just rise. It exploded.
Let's pause it. Can we pause it real quick? Is there any reason why it exploded, Ron? You wanna go back? Gee, what happened about 2 years ago? What possibly could it be that over the last 2 years could have inspired this explosion of anti-Semitism? Now, according to him, it's all been lying dormant. It's this dormant, you know, DNA that Europeans have that just is expressing itself now. It's like a disease. There's no cause of it. There's no reason for it. It's just a genetic defect in the European genome that gets expressed sometimes and has to be crushed. It couldn't possibly be because of the open genocide Israel's been carrying out. It couldn't possibly be because pro-Israel voices in America continually justify and celebrate the abject terror and horror that has been foisted on the people of Gaza, like Randy Fine. It couldn't possibly be anything they've done ever, right? 2 years. What a coincidence. Let's go back to this jackass.
As much as it takes to turn...
Oh, sorry. By the way, pause. Let me just say, for our radio viewers, he's in the Senate. He's speaking at a podium that has the official seal of the United States Senate in it. So I just want to lay that out. Sorry. Back to old Ron.
The truth, not lies. Remember, social media is a battleground for the next generation, just as education is. And it's not just colleges and universities. Today, our enemies have pushed their indoctrination against Jews and Western civilization all the way down from kindergarten.
Oh, the indoctrination. Oh, what? Like just actually pointing out things that Israel's actually doing? We have to be stopped. We have to be stopped. Oh, dear. Yeah, they have to control education, they have to control social media, they have to control mainstream media, they have to control the government, or else, you know, this disease crops up. And the only cure is total abject subjugation by a multinational cabal of Jews. Wow, thank goodness, the cure, the vaccine is here. Wonderful. Here's how he plans to implement this, by basically dictating who we're allowed to have run our country. Let's go to the clip 45 here.
The foreign country. Today, we're in the fight of our lives, and this is how we will fight back. First, we must use social media because that's what young people follow. And I must tell you,
oh, this guy young people probably love this guy.
Israel must finally get serious about public relations.
Oh yeah.
If Israel can't tell its amazing story to the world.
Such an amazing story.
Then its enemies will, and they've done it now.
Yeah,
we must expose every renegade teacher and their unions. We must expect moral courage from our political officials, not excuses. We must rebuild education around truth, not slogans and lies. We will have to reinvent how we teach the history of the Jewish people, because it's not working. Too many young people have never heard of the Holocaust. The World Jewish Congress has produced some excellent films that explain what happened.
That's what we need. We need more Holocaust films, guys.
And any candidate running for a seat in this building, whether for Congress or Senate, whose platform includes anti-Semitism, we will target them as they target us. Accordingly, we will start a fund to help their opponents. We cannot possibly sit by and let anti-Zionists determine our future. None of this will be easy.
So anybody that is, and remember, you translate their words, right? When he says anti-Semitism, what he means is anything less than, again, just abject, servile capitulation to anything Israel ever wants to do. Anything less than that, this guy considers not just anti-Semitism, but Jew hate, right? So anybody that runs for office in America, he's in the Capitol building of America right there, saying anybody that runs for a seat in this building, Congress or Senate, who is not an abject servant of the Jews, will be targeted specifically. They'll fund their opponents and they'll attack them with their many methods that we see on display on a continual basis. I think, who's this guy? Ron Lauder can be deported to Israel. It's offensive that this man is even allowed in our country, but he's giving commanding speeches in our Senate as the leader of the World Jewish Congress. Nobody else sees a problem with this. Jews out there, think this is helping? Do you think this is a healthy way to interact with criticisms of the state of Israel? Or do you think Ron Lauder himself might have an ulterior motive here? You think he's another like Rabbi Shmuley type character who's literally there to create and foster and gin up anti-Semitism at the very same time that he claims to be fighting it? Because in his worldview, in his perspective of the world, Jews not being hated is a problem. Jews feeling safe around non-Jews is a problem. They want anti-Semitism because they want Jewish people to come under their umbrella, to go for them to protection, to believe that the only way not to be subject of an anti-Semitic pogrom is to give over power to these foreign billionaire psychopaths. Don't fall for it. These people are bad. They're not American. They're not good. They're evil scumbags whose entire worldview is based on power and the elevation of their own power over, above, and in opposition to everybody else's. Reject it outright. And don't feel bad about it.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, InfoWarriors. Wow, it's 40% off store-wide for the holidays. Just look at these shirts. They would make a great gift for family and friends. You elves are doing a great job. These look wonderful.
Thank you, Santa.
Rudolph, with such great prices, what do you want me to get for you?
I love the Sea Moss gummies.
Christmas with Alex and crew. A cocoa and a coffee brew. All the presents under the tree. Everyone has.
Rudolph and more. Get a gift from the Alex Jones store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with shilajit, turmeric, bovine colostrum, too. And he was always stocked high with depression, methylene blue. But up on Mount Microchest lived the grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast. And he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took methylene blue, red, ultimate life force, and the shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout. The globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop. To be continued.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms!
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.